I'm an army of one and I'm stuck in Iraq. It's hotter than hell and I'm trying to get back. GW sent me here, we ought to give them the sack. An army of one and I'm stuck in Iraq.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. There's a curfew in Baghdad now throughout the weekend to contain the latest violence in the protest over Iraqi security operations against Shiite militias in Basra. Rocket and mortar attacks have now confined many Americans to fortified buildings in the Green Zone. CBS News reporter Charles Wolfson on new instructions to embassy personnel in Baghdad.
The directive says to wear body armor and to remain inside hardened structures except for essential travel outside the embassy compound, which is located in the Green Zone. Two Americans have died from rocket attacks this week, and a number of others have been seriously wounded.
President Bush in Dayton, Ohio today said the operations in Basra against Shiite militias show the Iraqi government can stand up against opponents.
This offensive builds on the security gains of the surge and demonstrates to the Iraqi people that their government is committed to protecting them.
Democrats in Congress call the president's remarks out of touch with reality. After mistakenly sending ballistic fuses to Taiwan and not discovering it for 2 years, Defense Secretary Robert Gates has ordered a full accounting of U.S. stockpiles. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has more from Washington.
This could be a big job, and it has to be done within 60 days, but just about everyone in the Pentagon knows that Defense Secretary Robert Gates does not tolerate sloppiness. He's issued written orders for a complete inventory of nuclear weapons and any parts related to nuclear bombs.
There were more cancellations in many of the nation's airports today as Delta and American Airlines inspected planes for possible wiring problems. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes.
This is all a result of the FAA's directive that airlines go back and take a look at their inspection process, make sure that they have complied fully with all FAA inspection mandates.
Delta is raising fares, slapping a $10 fuel surcharge on round-trip tickets. It had already done that recently, but other airlines wouldn't follow suit. It will be the largest solar panel installation in the nation. Southern California Edison plans to cover 2 square miles of commercial building rooftops. CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker.
Edison estimates that this project will cost about $875 million and should take about 5 years to complete. The first solar rooftop panels are to go in immediately, and the first one should be up and running perhaps by August of this year.
Eventually, the company hopes to power more than 160,000 homes. With so many Americans in debt, some consumer advocates think it's the worst possible time for credit card companies to market so heavily to college students. Many are already finding themselves buried in bills.
We found that almost a quarter of students used credit cards to pay tuition. More than half used credit cards to pay for books.
Ed Merzwinski of the Public Interest Research Group. On Wall Street today, the Dow finished off 120 points. This is CBS News.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice, now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the hottest gift.
The White River in Arkansas could reach a near 100-year flood stage in the coming days. There's been just so much rain.
We found at least 7 locations that have already received a record for the monthly rainfall totals. And, of course, we have several days left and potentially another rainfall event coming up.
A National Weather Service hydrologist Steve Bays, nearly half of the counties in the state have been declared federal disaster areas. Next time you're watching a video clip on YouTube, keep in mind it may be a way for advertisers to know what interests you. The video sharing site says it's now offering more info on viewers. CBS News technology consultant Larry Maggott.
YouTube has long provided information about the number of times a video has been viewed. But this will provide a lot more detailed information in terms of where the viewers are located and when they viewed the videos.
Google, which bought YouTube, is looking for ways to generate money from it. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
You know, a wise man once said, "Do what you love and you won't have to work a day in your life." Of course, small business owners know that doing what you love sometimes involves doing things you don't love, like the finances. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/smallbusiness. Business takes Visa.
In the end, all any of us have is our good name. So at Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles, and the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer: our good name. Mercedes-Benz. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about our certified pre-owned program.
See dealer for complete details on warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We launch into another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, emanating from San Francisco, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and occasionally in error.
The deception was tight. Just what are you trying to say? You got a bright face, which irritates. Communicate, pull out your body piece. You see dimensions into it. Make your case with black or white. Big one more little plus, these two shots, split your teeth. You're up for cover, so discreet. Why don't they do what they say?
On today's program, we'll kick it off with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. Some interesting stories developing today. Also this hour, Dr. Tom Bonnickson, a professor of forestry from Texas A&M Emeritus, will join us. He's got some ideas about the contributions of wildfires to carbon emissions and global warming. We'll talk about that in our second half hour, this hour. Next hour, Scott Dick returns. He's our contributor on military and veterans issues. We've got a lot to talk about, what I call the solder surge in Iraq, the problems that the U.S. is facing with the array of players, and have we picked the right allies? An American entrepreneur under the age of 30 is responsible for huge profits and bad ammunition used by our troops in Afghanistan. And we'll talk about those wayward nuclear triggers that were sent by mistake to Taiwan. Also, Scott Dick was on the tarmac in Tuzla, Bosnia, when Hillary Clinton and Chelsea arrived there in 1996. He told his story the other day. Richard Rappaport, a journalist and friend of mine, was also in Bosnia in 96 and has a different perception. He doesn't think that Hillary Clinton did not misspeak, but he does think the situation there was pretty dicey and that she was brave to go in. So we'll talk about all that and then take your phone calls in the third hour in our free speech zone. You can call now, too, if you'd like. In fact, anytime during the program. The number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And one quick announcement. There's a new way to hear portions of the Peter B. Collins Show over that fancy PDA or cell phone that you have. There's a new website called Phone Show, spelled F-O-N-E, phoneshow.com. And if you click on the link to radio shows, you'll see a button for Peter B. Collins. And in fact, you can hear Scott Dick describe his perception of the events in Tuzla 12 years ago. That's the first clip we've posted. And once you subscribe, each time we put a new one up, you get an email that lets you know that there is fresh content for you to hear. And that is Phone Show, F-O-N-E, phoneshow.com. Also, we like to face up to and fess up to mistakes that we make on this program. And yesterday, I believe I made an error. I didn't misspeak. No, I made a mistake. I took a look at alternet.org, and up there was a story posted attributed to a Stephen Reynolds, in which he reported that a former Clinton pastor was sentenced to jail for sexual abuse of a 7-year-old girl. And it turns out that this man was a pastor in the town of Clinton near Utica, New York. And I'm not alone. If you Google Procanic, the name of the pastor, and Clinton, you'll find the Democratic Underground and others followed this thread and got it wrong. And when we get it wrong, we like to admit it here, and I do humbly apologize.
Excuse me.
Faz Shakir is safer with the facts than a guy like me. He's not fast and loose. He's very careful. He's the research director of the Center for American Progress, co-editor of their Daily Progress Report, and also is in charge of thinkprogress.org, their constantly updated blog. How you doing, Faz?
I'm doing fine, Peter. How you doing? And yeah. I like to say that we try our best to maintain high standards, but occasionally we make errors, and made one today. We'll talk about that later, I think.
Oh, okay. I didn't know about yours. I was just so busy fessing up to mine. Now, did you see that yesterday, and did you have any questions when it came across? And...
No, I actually hadn't seen that story until you just mentioned it right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I guess it's an explainable error. The way I presented it, I didn't actually say that this is a fact. I said it had been reported, and I asked, you know, how far will all this go in, you know, guilt by association and Pastorgate-type investigations. But there are big stories breaking, and I just saw this one at rawstory.com minutes ago. Raw Story has done a great job of presenting the saga of Don Siegelman, the former Democratic governor of Alabama. And they announced here that Siegelman has been released from jail on bond pending appeal of his corruption case. And this is fresh on the heels of a request from John Conyers at the House Judiciary Committee to bring the inmate, now released, to Washington for a hearing in May. And, Faz, I think this is a very important story that could help us understand vote caging, the politicization of the U.S. attorney's offices, and the role that Karl Rove may have played in the prosecution and conviction of Don Siegelman.
Well, it's really good news that Siegelman is out today. The federal appellate court ruled that there were substantial questions surrounding his case and therefore let him out on bail. I think that that justifies a lot of the concerns that many had about his prosecution being politically charged. We know that career prosecutors at the Department of Justice opposed the prosecution of Governor Siegelman. We also know that there was an Alabama operative who said that Siegelman's prosecution was sped up by Karl Rove after a meeting in Washington, D.C., in which he tried to convince prosecutors to go after him. She also alleged that Karl Rove was trying to get her to go after Siegelman in a very bad way, in the sense that she was charged with getting pictures of Siegelman and perhaps charges that he may have been cheating on his wife and things like that. So the whole prosecution of Siegelman looked very salacious and dirty and politically charged. And I think that the federal appellate court ruling today lends some credence to those of us who are critics of that prosecution.
Well, and just one element of the political nature of this, Faz, is that it appears that the trial court judge dragged his feet in permitting the transcripts of the original trial to be approved and released, and he could not file an appeal without those transcripts.
Yeah, exactly. That was another issue. The whole thing stunk from top to bottom, and while Siegelman was convicted on an obstruction of justice charge, it appears that those who were doing the convicting didn't really have the full facts before them and didn't know the full context in which the prosecutors were trying to go after him in a way that that made the facts out to be much more sensational than they should have been.
Yeah. Well, we'll follow this one carefully, and I'm hopeful that this could lead to unraveling of some of the secrets and, of course, the stonewalling from the White House. They won't let Myers and Bolton testify about missing emails, and all this is tied together in the convoluted secret schemes to politicize justice, pack the court with friendly conservatives, and it was a whole big plan that they had, and I'd like to know much more about it. Now, Faz, you've got a breaking story here. John McCain gave a speech in Los Angeles yesterday, Wednesday, before the World Affairs Council, and it's been widely reported. The New York Times has a lengthy story with a quote box, and you have discovered that some elements of this speech were not original.
Yeah, and this is where we get into the part where I clarify exactly what we were trying to report and acknowledge some errors here. We identified a portion of Senator John McCain's speech as having been lifted from a speech given in 1996 by an Admiral Timothy Zimmer.
Mm-hmm.
That speech, Zimmer's speech, showed a lot of similarities to John McCain's speech yesterday. We alleged that there was plagiarism involved by Senator McCain. After we published this post, the McCain campaign alerted us to the fact that Senator McCain had actually delivered a speech in 1995 using the same paragraph, similar language to that which he delivered this week. So John McCain has been recycling the same paragraph for quite a long time, since at least 1995, and that means that he delivered the address before Admiral Zimmer did, which means if there is plagiarism, at least for the time being, it appears that it was Admiral Zimmer who was plagiarizing from John McCain.
Mm-hmm. Well, in any event, you'd think that the situation has changed significantly over a 13-year period, and McCain ought to get one of those volunteer lobbyists on his campaign to update it for him, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, no, I think he's certainly wedded to one speechwriter who he's been with for quite a long time, who's been recycling a lot of the same phrases for John McCain, and I don't think his situations on the ground and errors and judgment by John McCain have dissuaded him from using a lot of the same language over and over again. And
mm-hmm.
It was pointed out yesterday by a number of outlets that John McCain was recycling some parts from a 2001 speech as well. So I think at the very least what we're learning here is nothing was new in that speech that he gave yesterday, that a lot of that was simply recycled from old.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And was the McCain campaign angry, and did they threaten lawsuits and boycotts and things like that?
I did get a call from the McCain campaign manager, a gentleman by the name of Mark Salter, who spent a good 5 minutes screaming at me for a little bit, and then I acknowledged that we made a mistake here and we're correcting it, and hopefully we've done what every credible source will do, and that won't, of course, we won't let up on going after John McCain though.
Well, and I think McCain still owes us a full explanation and apology for his misleading remarks last week, one of which was corrected by Joe Lieberman. And others have kind of been respun by his campaign. But he clearly was not in command of the facts when he was there talking about exactly who or which groups are being trained in Iran and then returned to Iraq to contribute to the mayhem there.
Well, John McCain's made a number of statements that indicate bad judgment and things that he should probably account for, one of which is the recent quotes that Iran was training al-Qaeda. I don't think he has a good explanation except to say he misspoke, which isn't true because he repeated that claim a number of times and was saying it over and over again for a period of a few months. The other one, I remember back before the war, he said, the history of the Sunnis and Shias is that they can get along, and so when we attack Iraq, we can expect that they'll probably get along just fine. And, of course, we've seen quite the opposite, where the Sunnis and Shias are now at loggerheads, and we see what's going on in Basra now, where you have a Shia uprising, and that's another one of those McCainisms that should continue to dog him.
Well, we'll take a break and talk more about the situation in Iraq and the rosy spin from the president earlier today. Faz Shakir is with us from the Center for American Progress. Log on to thinkprogress.org and see the continually updated blog there with video and other bells and whistles. We'll continue in a moment. You can join in if you have a comment. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. With 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests, and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 23 minutes after the hour, talking with Faz Shakir from thinkprogress.org and progressreport.org, two great outlets of the Center for American Progress. And Jake has a comment from Eureka. Go ahead, Jake. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B. You know, Senator McCain has continually conflated al-Qaeda and Iran, the Sunni and Shia, and it seems to be part of this, you know, right-wing propaganda effort to say that, you know, the world's 1 billion Muslims are all part of some massive enemy that wants to destroy America. And I'm really worried that John McCain is cynical enough to use lies like this, saying that, you know, Iran is training al-Qaeda, when the Shia mullahs who run Iran hate al-Qaeda.
Right.
You know, he's using these lies to justify an attack on Iran.
Well, and this
is what's about to happen.
Well, you raise a very important point, Jake, and Faz, weigh in here, because yesterday in this speech, McCain tried to put a little daylight between himself and President Bush, at least in a narrow sense. Yet this language, if intentional, is the same way that Bush repeatedly conflates the enemies in Iraq with al-Qaeda. And we know that al-Qaeda represents less than 5% of the foreign fighters in Iraq, and they haven't been responsible for nearly as much carnage as Bush and Cheney blame them for.
Yeah, I think that's right. And returning to what I said earlier about John McCain before the war having said that Sunnis and Shias are going to get along just fine once we attack Iraq, I think that judgment and his language then and his language now indicates that he doesn't know a great deal about this region. I think when he continues to use the phrases about Islamofascism and Islamofascist terror, what he's doing is lumping the threats from Iran and Iraq and the complex scenario we have in Iraq with what's going on in the Middle East and Syria and you name the region. And what he's doing is conflating all of them as one entire entity, even Afghanistan. I think before the war, he probably was confused and thought that the people we were fighting in Afghanistan were similar in nature to the ones that we were going to fight in Iraq. And
mm-hmm.
I think that that judgment of the threat that we face was ultimately far off base, and he continues to maintain those incorrect judgments to this day.
Yeah. And this term Islamofascist is meaningless. It's loaded, but it has no real meaning. And the other day I was trying to come up with equally ridiculous things like concrete tomatoes or tires made of formica. You know, that's as meaningless as a Islamofascist.
Yeah, I mean, it's bad enough that it's not descriptive and doesn't accurately characterize the threat, but it does even worse than that, which is that it creates enemies. And to those who are getting the interpretation, the Arabic interpretation or the Farsi interpretation of McCain's words, I don't think that that's coming out very well. You know, I think what it's saying is this is a religious war, and we are going after people of Muslim faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how those on the receiving end perceive that language. And so I think beyond it just generally being nonsense and not descriptive and inaccurate, I think it's also creating harm for us because it's emboldening and creating more terrorists.
I agree. Thank you, Jake, for the call. And Faz, your lead story at the Progress Report today, you call Sadr's uprising, and I prefer to refer to it as the Sadr surge. But what's even more remarkable than the fact that we have demonized Iran, and McCain has falsely said that al-Qaeda goes into Iran to get training and weapons and comes back, it is the very forces backed by Iran that we have allied with in trying to put down the insurgency of Muqtada al-Sadr.
Yeah, we've now engaged in that old tactic of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. We are now aligning ourselves with Shia militants who, for at least for the time being, might be aligned against Sadr. And so what we're witnessing is the slow dissembling of what was some security gains over the past couple months, and now that's starting to tear apart at the seams. You're seeing Sadr's surge in many cases, and what is happening is you've got the protest going on. Right now it's a nonviolent one where the Sadr is asserting his power to shut down services, hospitals, and really show his impact. He's engaging in a strike in southern
mm-hmm.
Iraq and really showing his impact to really to tear apart the security and the peace that we've had for a short period of time, mostly because of a ceasefire that he agreed to. And I think as we go play this out for the next couple of weeks, that nonviolent protest could easily turn into a violent one, and we're going to be in a pretty difficult spot at that point.
And Bush says this is a positive spin-off from the surge?
Yeah, that's his talking point. This is all good news because we got Iraqi security forces engaging in the battle.
Beautiful. Faz, thank you very much. I'll talk to you again soon.
Sure, thank you.
And I'll meet you over there in the apology corner, okay?
Okay, thank you.
More in a moment on wildfires and global warming, the PBC show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by Emerson. Whatever the demand, whatever the challenge, with Emerson you can consider it solved. I'm Charles Osgood. The Russian Ivan Pavlov discovered he could develop conditioned reflexes in dogs and make them salivate at the sound of a bell. At the Woods Hole Marine Biological Laboratory, researchers are doing essentially the same thing with fish, testing a plan to train sea bass to catch themselves by swimming into a net on cue.
It takes a concerted training effort of a few weeks with daily sound cues and then a reward by feeding to get fish trained to this acoustic training regime.
Scott Lindell is project leader at Woods Hole.
We are offering perhaps a new way to selectively harvest hatchery-raised fish that have been released to the wild environment. The principal benefits of that is it would relieve pressure on wild stocks while still offering opportunity to keep fishermen employed.
More on what they're calling Pavlov's fish after this for Emerson. It's one thing to know that the next billion mobile phone subscribers are only a few years away. Quite another for your network to actually handle that. That's why businesses turn to Emerson. Emerson accurately predicts what world trends mean for them, so Emerson can supply the backup technologies that ensure millions upon millions of calls keep going through. Emerson anticipates customer needs so that when they're ready, Emerson's ready. Emerson, consider it solved.
Some surprising facts about Advil PM. If annoying aches and pains are keeping you up, here's something you should know. Advil PM gives you a better night's sleep than Tylenol PM. You'll spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep compared to Tylenol PM. Are you surprised? Don't be, and switch to Advil PM for a better night's sleep. Use only as directed. Brands are trademarks of their respective owners.
The fish training research at Woods Hole is underwritten by a $250,000 grant from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Fish can be trained. The next question is, how long can they retain that memory?
Andy Lazar, an aquaculture specialist with NOAA.
The sound of the mechanical device that they know is going to deliver feed, they will, you know, migrate to that sound.
Fish hatcheries might be a little skeptical at first, but Lazar says,
after the fish were to be fed and reached market size, then they could be recaptured by this net.
That could save them a lot of money.
Something that could be economically viable is of interest, because offshore production is a very capital-intensive and expensive venture.
Scott Lindell says there are lots of ways it could be done.
Fishermen cooperatives could jointly contract or raise hatchery fish themselves, stock them in areas where fishing has depleted local stocks, where there's still plenty of natural food for the fish to forage on, and make a living out of it.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Are wildfires and forest fires a major contributor to global warming?
There's a little something that's been freaking me. Read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like airspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming a spooky little thing called global warming. Fluorofluorocarbon strip away ozone. You can't seem to leave the rainforest alone.
temperatures are rising and it now decays. The vampires of progress have come on to rules. Well, I always drive the freeway in a bulletproof vest. Have fiber in my diet and a blood pressure test. But this one is a doozy, which requires forewarning. A spooky little thing called global warming. Now, baby, you know what I lay.
Oh, that's my friend Dr. Elmo. He did such a great job with Christmas that now he's working on bigger issues like climate change. That's global warming from his Halloween CD called Dr. Elmo Sings the Booze. And this half hour, we're going to talk about global warming and the extent to which wildfires and forest fires contribute even beyond human activity. Dr. Tom Bonnickson joins us now. He is a retired professor of forestry from the Texas A&M University, and he got his forestry degree at the University of California at Berkeley a couple of decades ago. Dr. Bonnickson, welcome to our program.
Yes, it's kind of sad to think of a couple of decades ago, but you're right.
Well, but in tree terms...
No, the truth of the matter is I've spent a good deal of my life, maybe 35 years, working on California's forests.
Indeed you have. And the Sacramento Bee published an article that caught my attention a couple of weeks back, a report that you have authored regarding the contributions of wildfires to the CO2 emissions that ultimately contribute to climate change and the problems that we lump together as global warming. And some of this seems very obvious, that volcanic activity, forest fires, and other events like that are certainly beyond our control and make significant contributions to greenhouse gases.
Well, you're right. I mean, we can't do anything about volcanic activity, but the truth is that there are things we can do something about. And one of those, and probably the most important, is forest fires. Now, up until the time I was able to create a computer model that integrated all the science dealing with this, we really didn't have very reliable numbers. But now we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example. I spent a lot of time, you know, looking at forest fires, the communities that are burned. It's very depressing. And I was on the 2007 fires in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
5,005.5 acres burned in that fire. Now, with the model, I can tell you exactly what was emitted. 19 million tons of greenhouse gases, or 38 tons per acre,
mm-hmm,
from that fire. Now, when you look up in the sky and you see all of the smoke that makes you cough and all the ash that's raining down on your cars, that's not greenhouse gas. The greenhouse gas, which is carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide, is invisible. So only what you see is those particulates that make it hard to breathe, but the real damage to our climate is taking place invisibly by these other gases. So that 19 million tons is the invisible gases. Now, when you add to that what was and is being emitted by the decay of the plants that died, the total is 3.7 million. I'm sorry. It's the equivalent of 3.7 million cars for the combustion, or 5.3 million cars for 1 year, or 38% of all cars on the road in California. That's from just the 2007 fires in Southern California. Mm-hmm. One event.
Now, from the article, what I pick up is that you are recommending not that we end our efforts to curtail human contributions, but that we recognize that wildfires and forest fires are major contributors, and that there are some things that humans can do to reduce the risk and reduce the frequency, or even reduce the scope of some of these fires once they develop. and that is to thin out the dead vegetation and trees. And that does two things. It leaves less fuel for the next fire, but it also permits new trees to saplings and seedlings to grow, which will then process the photosynthesis, right, and remove some CO2 from the atmosphere.
Wow, that's comprehensive. Very good.
Really?
You're absolutely right.
Can you give me an honorary degree? Because I kind of
I think you deserve one. No question about it. The truth is, most recent report, which was funded by the Forest Foundation, which is a 501c3 organization that I published, deals with four wildfires in California. The Moonlight Fire 2007 in Plumas County, the Fountain Fire up north of Redding, the Star Fire in the Tahoe, and so on. So basically...
Well, and also the Angora Fire, which was
correct.
At Tahoe.
The Angora Fire is probably front and center.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's the smallest of all the fires, but probably internationally the most important, because... all of us love the Tahoe Basin. I've been going up there since I was a kid in the early 50s. Tahoe is important to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And the Angora Fire, even though it was 3,100 acres, is an example of what could be devastating to that magnificent lake and the basin itself. That fire was catastrophic. It was creating temperatures as high as 3,000 degrees Fahrenheit, flame heights of 200 feet,
mm-hmm.
Going rampaging through the adjacent community, and eliminating all the trees that could provide seed for the next forest. But we are in a situation now where the ground is, the forest is gone. There's no seed trees. The only thing we've got left for the future is brush. Brush that's going to be intermingled with dead trees falling into it, which is a very big fire hazard. There will not be a new forest if we don't create one. But from a greenhouse gas perspective, we have 1 year left, just one, next year, to remove those dead trees, which have economic value, enough, since this is public land and the Forest Service has no money, basically, to reforest. Those trees, for one more year, have enough value to pay the cost of planting a new forest. If we don't do that, we will have a brush field and a bigger fire in the future. But if we do remove those trees and replant,
mm-hmm.
we can not only have a new forest, but we can recover. And I'm talking quantitatively, 98% of the CO2 that was lost in that fire.
Tom Bonnickson is with us. He is an emeritus professor of forestry from Texas A&M, and he has concluded this study that he's telling us about regarding the impact of wildfires, forest fires, on the atmosphere. And the remedy that he is proposing is that we need to clear out the dead wood and plant new trees to create a new forest, which he just described. And Dr. Bonnickson, in the article that I have here, it said that one of the other issues that a lot of people don't recognize is that fire-killed trees, as they start to decay, release gases long after the fire has gone. Talk about that and what kind of gases these are and how they contribute to climate change.
Well, when I started doing this science, the scientific investigation, I, after all these years, never fully appreciated the importance of the decay of the trees. It turns out that three times the amount of CO2 that is emitted by a fire, which is the most important greenhouse gas emitted by combustion, three times that amount is emitted by the decay of the trees after the fire. It's not the case in chaparral because most of it burns, but in forests, it is the case. So you can multiply it by three. That is really, really serious. It means that a fire that occurred decades ago is still emitting CO2 into the atmosphere and contributing to global warming. And I think we have to take that into account. Let me give you an example. You know the decay that's taking place already in the San Bernardino Mountains from the insect infestation. Those trees are dead. They're decaying. The entire front range of the Colorado Mountains are being devastated by bark beetles, millions of acres. That's decaying. British Columbia, the same thing is happening. It turns out that you can think of insect infestations as a slow fire that is actually doing more harm, ultimately, to our climate than even a wildfire if we go back and replant. So decay is far more significant than the fire itself.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Bonnickson, reassure me here, if you would, because I'm not an expert on these issues, and I tend to lean toward the environmentalist point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am a little skeptical because the Bush administration has been pushing to overturn some administrative decisions by the Clinton administration regarding roadless logging and logging in our national forests and national parks. And it appears that the industry, together with people like Stephen Griles and Gail Norton, who were running the Interior Department a few years ago, had come up with this idea of healthy forests, and that the need was to go in there and thin out. And what I have a hard time separating is the financial interest of the industry and the, you know, interests of the forests. And what you're arguing seems very sensible to me. At the same time, I just have a little suspicion that this is something that promotes the interests of the logging and forest products industries.
Well, I can certainly answer that because I'm kind of odd in that respect. I'm the former elected vice chairman of the Bay Chapter of the Sierra Club. I'm a former National Park Ranger, Sequoia Kings Canyon. I'm the co-founder of the International Society for Ecological Restoration. I wrote the book that's used as the document in 2000 by John Wiley, America's Ancient Forests, that documents the history of America's forests. I have advocated all of my professional life the restoration of our forests and the protection of our forests, and big trees are certainly a big part of what I've always cared about. But as a scientist, we have to be practical. We have to say you can't have a forest of just big trees. You have to have a forest that is sustainable. That means all ages of trees have to be represented. And you can't have forests being burned down because you don't want to manage them. Now, look, you know, Native people, of which I am partly one, have managed our forests in California, especially, for 12,000 years. They were responsible for 50% of all the fires that occurred in these forests. We eliminated Native people, unfortunately. Then we put out all the lightning fires. Then we waited a century for the consequences, which we now have, where we used to have 40, 60, 70 trees per acre, for example, in the Sierra. We now have 500 to 1,000 trees per acre. We have, I think, in the 21st century, assumed responsibility for the care and protection of these forests, and we have to use science as a basis as well as history for managing them. And I think the only responsible thing we can do is actively manage our forests to suit our needs with due respect for their history.
All right, we need to take a break. We'll continue in a moment with Dr. Tom Bonnickson. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call now. And if you're in a tree in Humboldt County, call us from there on that cell phone. 888-5-PETER-B. That's our toll-free number. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Dr. Tom Bonnickson, a forestry expert, and we're talking about the contribution of wildfires and forest fires to CO2 emissions and our global warming problem, and he has some interesting proposals to manage the forests to try to reduce the risk of fires. And to you also seem to suggest, Dr. Bonnickson, that we should let lightning-based fires just play themselves out. Am I getting that correct?
There are places where that's appropriate, especially high elevation, where the fires are constrained by rocky outcrops. Maybe if you, in chaparral in Southern California, have the area of chaparral surrounding those areas where you let fires burn, where you break up the fuel, there are places where that could happen. But the truth of the matter is, even though fire historically was the single most important force that kept our forests thin and sustainable, we live in the 21st century, and that's no longer feasible. So there are places that we can do that. But as a solution, it's not a solution. Really, the only solution, ultimately, is to remove trees, and we can't pay for it because it's too expensive. I testified in Congress. It would cost, for the 73 million acres in greatest jeopardy, about $60 billion for 15 years for the initial restoration. Then it would cost $32 billion every 15 years thereafter to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's happening in the Tahoe Basin right now. Everyone wants to do what they can to reduce the fire hazard in the Tahoe Basin, but they're relying on taxpayer money, which isn't there.
So the only win-win scenario is to let Weyerhaeuser and the others come in and do their best? Can we trust them? This is the fallacy.
People think we just let private companies come in and log what they want. That's not the way it works. We're talking about the U.S. Forest Service, which is a very professional organization created in 1905. That has professional foresters in it that decide which trees are going to be removed to accomplish the objective. In other words, if your objective is to have a diverse, sustainable forest that encourages the growth of large trees, you're only going to mark certain trees for removal. And
so then,
the Forest Service decides that, and the companies come in, they only remove those trees.
Okay, so the government, the Forest Service is in charge of the management plan, and the companies can only take the trees that have been approved.
And they have a blue line on them, and if they are, if they take out any tree that isn't marked by the Forest Service, they're out of business, frankly.
All right,
and,
we'll drive.
And that's how carefully regulated it is. So there's no reason to believe that the private companies are coming in and doing what they want. The private companies are coming in and doing what the government says is appropriate for our forest, the people's forest, you and me.
All right, let's talk to Matt in Sacramento, listening on KSAC. Go ahead, Matt.
I had a lot of questions now, but, well, what he just said, I was just up in Oregon. There's an awful lot of clear-cutting going on, and so was that done on private land then?
Probably most of the clear cutting you see take place is on private land. Yes.
Okay, now the second thing is we got tons of brush here on my ranch and everywhere else that burns on a regular basis. And we have a real problem with using fossil fuels. And I know the content of oil is really high in my brush, you know, that chaparral stuff.
Right.
And so, because I do burning on it. And why aren't we using that to generate electricity and start managing this as a resource? Instead of letting it burn every 10 years.
Well, you are absolutely right. One of the great untold stories that people don't appreciate is that a lot of the brush, even chaparral in Southern California and the smaller trees in the understory of forests throughout the state, are an enormously valuable resource. The biomass in those forests, I think the estimate is that you could, just with the understory, sustain one megawatt of power per 19,000 acres forever.
Right.
Hey, I'll toss in a bunch of eucalyptus trees in my backyard.
Yes.
And, that's a fact.
And you know what's very good about that is that it's sustainable. The carbon that's sequestered by the trees and turned into energy is also renewable. And at the same time, it offsets the fossil fuels that you otherwise would have used.
And you can employ thousands of people.
No, that's it's very important. And I think, I don't even know what a megawatt is. I think it's 1,000 homes.
Million.
Huh?
Million watts.
It's 1,000,000 watts. We don't know how many homes it is.
One megawatt is 1,000 homes. And, the fact of the matter is, that if we do that on a scale that really matters, we can reduce the fire hazard enormously and offset a lot of the imported fuel that we have to deal with.
Exactly.
Matt, thank you for your call today. Dr. Bonnickson, a pleasure to talk to you. Your report is at calforestfoundation.org. That's calforestfoundation.org. Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Stay tuned. We'll see what happens next. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Despite the siege of Basra, President Bush says things are getting better.
Normalcy is returning back to Iraq.
FDA looks at possible suicide link to popular asthma drug. I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Gunfire on the outskirts of Basra as Iraqi forces battle the Shiite militiamen who control that oil port city. President Bush, in a speech today, portrayed this as a positive development.
I'm Peter Mayer at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Ohio. President Bush praises the fledgling Iraqi government for launching the military offensive that has led to more fighting. He sees progress in Iraq.
The surge is working, and civil society is beginning to grow. It is a sign normalcy is returning back to Iraq.
The speech to a friendly military audience here was the last in a series of messages before an expected presidential decision to delay further troop withdrawals while commanders assess the impact of the latest drawdowns. Peter Mayer, CBS News, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Ohio.
Shiite leader Muqtada al-Sadr is calling for a political resolution in Basra, but stops short of telling his fighters to put down their weapons. With continuing rocket and mortar attacks in Baghdad, U.S. Embassy personnel have been told to stay inside as much as possible. CBS News Chief Foreign Correspondent Lara Logan says the credibility of the Iraqi government is on the line.
Certainly what's coming out of the Iraqi capital now, for example, seeing the heavily fortified green zone under constant mortar attack day and night for the last 4 days, that's not the message of stability and security and improvements that they want to send to the American people. And it certainly is reversing a lot of the gains that have been achieved over the past year here.
Now this.
So the other day, I'm driving my Chevy, and I see this guy with two bumper stickers. One read E equals MC squared. The other said, keep it simple, stupid. Seeing those two together helped me really appreciate how my Chevy lets me know when it's the right time and the wrong time for service. Most newer Chevys, like mine, have an oil life monitor that tells me when it's time for a change. With OnStar, I can subscribe and get a diagnostic report via email. And I always check my owner's manual for a complete maintenance schedule. And when it's the right time for me, I choose the Chevy experts down the Goodwrench service lane.
I can't stop thinking about it.
I got an oil change, tire rotation, and a Goodwrench multi-point vehicle inspection. These guys know more about my Chevy than anyone, and for me, that's the best deal of all.
See your Chevy Goodwrench dealer today or log on to Goodwrench.com. Diagnostic capabilities vary by model. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Goodwrench and go. We're keeping it simple.
Singulair is widely advertised.
Side effects are generally mild and vary by age and may include headache, ear infection, sore throat, and upper respiratory infection.
The commercial doesn't mention suicidal behavior, but maybe it should. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato explains.
In the blogosphere, parents express concerns. My 9-year-old daughter wishes she were dead. My son became angry, irritable. Posted the past 2 weeks about Singulair, Merck's popular asthma and allergy drug. The FDA says it's investigating a possible link to suicidal thoughts and behavior. Merck Senior Clinical Research Director Dr. George Philip calls reports of such reactions very limited and says no one in company trials has committed suicide.
We are simply sharing the information, but without any agreement, either
by ourselves or by the FDA that there's a causal relationship.
The FDA also is reviewing reactions to similar drugs, Accolate and Zyflo. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Both Democrats running for president bash John McCain today as they outline their own economic strategies. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
Speaking in New York City, Barack Obama said John McCain's plan seems to be sit back and watch.
While this is consistent with Senator McCain's determination to run for George Bush's third term, it won't help families that are suffering.
Hillary Clinton in North Carolina said sometimes economic crises happen at 3 a.m. too.
If the phone were ringing, he would just let it ring and ring.
And she too targeted McCain.
I think we've had enough of a president who didn't know enough about economics and didn't do enough for the American middle class.
Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
John McCain campaigned in Salt Lake City today with former rival Mitt Romney.
We face critical challenges in the world today, and you know that. Right here at home, our economy is fragile, and we're facing the threat of radical violent jihadists in other parts of the world. It's essential that we have a leader who understands the consequences of the actions that we take.
McCain said Romney is proven, and Romney said McCain is proven and tested. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the...
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's time for our weekly visit with Scott Dick, our official contributor on military and veterans affairs, and he requested this song.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling there's something right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am,
stuck in the middle with you.
Yes, I'm stuck in the middle with you. And I'm wondering.
I love this song, Scott. Steeler's Wheel, about 1974 or 75, if I remember correctly.
And if I was in Iraq, it would be my theme song.
Scott served in the Marine Corps, then jumped over to the Army, where he retired to the rank of major. He was in Tuzla, Bosnia in the spring of 1996, and actually was there to escort Chelsea Clinton, and had a brief encounter with the president's wife, the first lady, Hillary Clinton, at that time. And a little bit later this hour, Richard Rappaport, a journalist and a friend of mine who was also in Bosnia in the spring of 1996, has a slightly different view. He doesn't believe that Senator Clinton actually spoke correctly, and she has, of course, retracted her statement that she was dodging sniper fire when they got off the plane. But I think it'll be an interesting contrast. Rappaport published a piece in the San Francisco Chronicle yesterday that you can read online at sfgate.com, and he'll be joining us a little bit later this hour. But first, the letters, but also ISKI is a way of describing it in the anglicized version. We know about the Mahdi Army headed by Muqtada al-Sadr, and there is a third group, not so well known in the U.S., called the Fadhila Party, which is headed by Muhammad al-Waeli, a local leader in the Basra province. And as this situation has heated up, the U.S. has once again offered a couple of Hobson's choices, but we are aligning with Skiri in opposition to the Mahdi army, and it is Skiri that is supplied by, supported by, and in some cases funded by the Iranian government.
Isn't that special?
Yeah.
I want to correct something. I wasn't in Bosnia to escort Chelsea. I was there undergoing living the movie Groundhog Day. So I was a passive. I was sort of a sandbag with lips when they came to town. So,
right.
It wasn't like they moved me there just to be your escort. I just happened to be there hanging out.
Yeah, I hope I didn't leave that impression that you traveled with Chelsea.
Yeah, no. So, because I would have had to duck and run, because all that's sniper fire.
Yeah, right. Okay, we'll get to that a little later in the hour.
This is a commander's worst nightmare, that your friends, first of all, that these are Shia. Apparently, I didn't know if you caught the news feed, but the Green Zone has been under constant indirect fire attacks for the last 4 days, day and night.
That's right.
And guess who they're pinning the star of wonder on? The Shia militia.
The Shia militia, sure.
Which are allied, you can just... I don't know if you can draw a direct line to the Maliki government, but it's probably pretty wavy because as the senior Shia in the government, not the cleric, but the political, they're all tied together. And they're fighting over, I think, the spoils of war or peace, depends on how you look at it. Bush administration, it's peace, the spoils of peace.
Well, it's described as a struggle over the economy of southern Iraq, which, of course, the Basra port is critical to oil exports and any kind of exports that help the economy there recover. And one of the stories is that Maliki has been seeing a lot of oil and other products get siphoned off into the black market. And one of the reasons for this crackdown at this time is to try to regain control over the port and over the oil supply.
So he can siphon it off and sell it on the black market.
Oh, you're so cynical and so right.
See, and then the president comes along and says something that I find amazing. And it's of a quality of amazement that just it boggles my imagination. When he says all this death and destruction, 40 to 60 people were killed. Yesterday we had two more deaths from various causes. I think one a sniper, one an explosive device. He says it's a sign that normalcy is returning to Iraq.
Isn't that beautiful?
That he must be talking about the pre-surge, what passed for normalcy, the pre-surge violence. This is really amazing. It's a sign that normalcy is returning to Iraq. Okay, then it's time for us to come home.
Well, it reminds me of how in the early, the first term of this mess, anytime somebody mentioned the economy, Bush's solution was more tax cuts. And now, whenever anybody talks about Iraq, his reflex talking point that has been drilled into him is, oh, the surge is working. And it's just a matter of the surge is working, and therefore we have violence in Basra. The surge is working, and, well, the Iraqi army is facing down these wayward militias. And from what we know, for example, in Sadr City, the huge slum in Baghdad that is controlled by the Mahdi army and Muqtada al-Sadr, is that on Monday, they gave the high sign to the Iraqi police and troops and said, we'll take it from here. And by all accounts, those Iraqi soldiers and police officers saluted and immediately left Sadr City to the control of Muqtada al-Sadr.
We call that, when you have bosses say, okay, move out, draw fire. That's apparently what they did. And, Peter, the thing is that most Americans don't realize or don't understand or haven't heard or hasn't been explained to them that these militias are parts of political operations that provide food, water, clothing, medical care. They provide basic structure and infrastructure that the central government can't. And that's why they're allowed to operate with impunity, because the local citizen says, well, if the central government can't pick up our trash, it's been festering pus pool for the last 9 months, and then the militias come along and move it, then their allegiances are naturally going to go with those who seem to be in charge.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Scott, you mentioned the political angle here. We have to look at Paul Bremer as the architect of this mess, because he debathified the army and put a bunch of very well-trained and motivated shooters back on the street. And he also created the parliament system and the electoral process that caused people to vote based on religious identity. This gave the Shiites the majority because, just flatly, they are the majority population in Iraq. But it also created this Shiite coalition in which Maliki is dependent on Sadr for the votes that got him into office. And so the reason that Maliki has not cracked down on the Mahdi army to date is that politically, he needed Muqtada al-Sadr. Now, Sadr's pulled himself out of the government, is boycotting it, and I think that's part of the tit-for-tat here that we're seeing as Maliki is personally managing the front in Basra and has issued a 72-hour ultimatum that the Shiite militias must put down their weapons within the next 72 hours. And, of course, the threat is, if you don't do that, my friends, the Americans, will come here and take care of you.
Will come and kill you. Yes, isn't that, that's another one of those categories of that fit into the isn't that special. And the thing is, Peter, who are the godfathers, who is the single godfather for both of those organizations, the political organization of Maliki and the political organization of al-Sadr?
Well, it would be the Iranian mullahs.
Right. So...
Our arch enemy that we're prepared to nuke.
And the Cheney has said, I had to do a little analysis of what I call Cheney-Martian political doublespeak. And the words are, I recognize the words because my first language is English. And I recognize those words as being English. I, however, do not recognize the way he puts them in the sentence. And his analysis, if we leave Iraq, we'll turn Iraq over to the Iranians. We already did that.
Yes, we did.
At so many different levels, at so many different political, just pick one, Peter, and we've given it to the Iranians already.
Scott Digg is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show this entire hour. Your calls are welcome at 888-5 Peter B. And Michael's on the line from Carmel Valley. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Peter. One thought about this oil situation that figures in your conversation, but is a little off the mark here. That is, we have a president that says we are at war. He has taken this country to war. And yet, the harder it gets, the worse it gets in the oil industry, the more their oil is worth and the more it costs us and the more they make. Isn't it about time we took a look at war profiteering from the oil companies that are making these obscene profits on the backs of the American public with all the other excuses they've got? They are not part of the solution. In fact, they're at the root of evil.
Well, I'm with you, and we, Scott and I, have talked about profiteering on many occasions here, and I'd love to see a concerted effort to crack down and to recover the misspent funds. But that's not going to happen while Bush is in office. If you read Naomi Klein's book, The Shock Doctrine, this is all part of a bigger piece, and that is it's a field day for the corporate cronies of Bush and Cheney. And
I tend to give them a little more credit than you do, Peter, for knowing exactly how they're manipulating this whole mosaic.
Well, Peter, let me jump in here because I think he's onto something. It looks to me that this is a way, if to transfer wealth, except counterintuitive to us, we have a tendency to transfer wealth from the many to the good, to things like infrastructure and roads and highways. They're transferring wealth from our tax coffers to the wealthy. And it's about wealth transfer. It was the same in Bosnia.
Not only that, gentlemen, I will point out that when the Bush team took office, oil was at about $30 a barrel, and that oil in Texas is worth extracting in the $45 to $50 a barrel range. Well, they've made it real attractive to extract oil from Texas again, and some of Bush's friends are going to do very well here. Michael, thank you for your call today, and I appreciate your point. We'll continue in a moment with Scott Digg, and you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And you can grab a podcast of this or any other hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Just go to our website. The link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
You know you move too fast. This is Professor Mossberg, your host of the Poetry Slowdown, asking you to join me Sundays at high noon. We're talking about poetry that makes a difference, and we want to hear from KRXA listeners who think for yourselves. Our theme this month is the poetry of trees. Here's your assignment. Call in with a line you love about a tree or that makes a difference. This is a new kind of news we need. We're launching here at 5:40, Sunday, noon. Together we'll make the morning last.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey and Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. Pretty busy as we start things off today. Gilroy northbound 101 at Maston Avenue. A grass fire burning off to the shoulder. Some smoke visible from the roadway. Fire department is on the scene, but it looks like traffic not affected at this time. For Scotts Valley, southbound 17 after Sugarloaf Road, we have a crash with two cars. They're both off to the right-hand shoulder. Salinas, south 101 at Main Street. Watch out for two large bags of garbage in the roadway. And in Capitola, southbound 1 before Park Avenue, a broken-down box truck that is tying up the left-hand lane. This is brought to you by Act Restoring Mouthwash. Act Restoring Mouthwash is a three-act mouthwash. Act 1 kills germs. Act 2 restores minerals to soft spots. And Act 3 strengthens tooth enamel to up to two times harder. Be sure to get Act Restoring Mouthwash. That is traffic, and I'm Nate Nix on KRXA.
Vietnam. I said, son, you know, it's go ask your mom. It brought back such precious memories of my days in business school, my favorite stool. Then my wife said, hey, I'm worried because they're starting to deploy. I said, honey, don't be silly. We'll send someone else's boy because we all make sacrifices. And in a war, that's what the poor people are for. I said, fight on for freedom's sake, long as I don't shake and bake.
Chicken hawk.
Call me a chicken hawk.
Chicken hawk.
Proud to be
Incisive political satire music from RoyZimmerman.com. I'm Peter B. Collins. We continue with our contributor on military and veterans issues, Scott Dick. And Gina in Salinas is on the line. Welcome, Gina, listening to KRXA.
Hi.
Hi.
You know, there's another army we're paying for over there that's bigger than our military.
Are you talking about the contractors?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just pull our boys out and let those guys have it?
Well, I don't think it's that simple. Scott,
I don't know. It looks simple enough to me.
Scott, you take a crack at it.
Well, you know, she has a point. I mean, Blackwater says that I told you, Peter, before that Blackwater actually went to a meeting and said he could put a combat brigade in the field with something like 48 hours notice. So maybe with enough money, maybe if we threw a couple billion at the organizations like Blackwater, the real efficiency would be to recruit from the third world. And that way our costs would be much lower. And it would be perfectly, it would fit, it would dovetail exactly with this administration's, mentality. Outsource it to the third world. Don't worry about any kind of pensions or medical care or long-term veterans care. Mm-hmm. We'd avoid all that.
Well, there is the command and control issue, though, that we've encountered with Blackwater.
Oh, we could buy that, too.
Well, the thing of it is, I think we already paid for it. well, more than a couple billion.
Yeah, you're probably right. Thank you, Gina. Now to Ben in Salinas. It's a big day in Salinas. Hi, Ben.
Hello, Peter. I have a question for you two, and I'm hoping that you'll tell me that I'm dead wrong, but I need to run it past you because they already started processing between 200,000 and 2 million Iraqi citizens who will be given refugee status here in the United States proper with the complete benefit of what's the news source out of England, the BBC,
yeah.
And to on Amy Goodman's program on the, what's it called, MPI?
Democracy Now.
Democracy Now, right. But I hear vague references to it because we already know they've processed some 700-800 Iraqis that have come here. I guess it's the one that they would call collaborators when you're dealing with occupation. But
Ben, I would love to see more information on this, but from what I know, I'm skeptical because this administration has done nothing to deal with the huge refugee problem that we've created in Iraq. And the numbers of Iraqis that we permitted in our country is in the low thousands.
But wouldn't that be a perfect way to poison the well for the upcoming administration to kick it back to the Bushes on some future date? I mean, and another thing I'll be talking to you more about as things come along, that chip that they want to put in those passport scandal going on, that radio frequency identity chip, that's the same chip they want to put in us people. Now, you want China being able to monitor where you and your children are vacationing in the case of international conflict to find you with a scanner? Holy cow!
All right, Ben, let me turn to Scott here. Scott, what first is your opinion about the issue of these refugees?
Peter, if we live up to our national reputation and our past, we'll just abandon them completely. So the idea that we're going to bring more than minimum numbers is sort of a fig leaf for cover up our culpability with making Iraq a total mess. The chances, I think, are slim to zero. I mean, look at all the other populations that have supported us. We've begged them to support us. We paid them to support us. And then at the final end, we just abandoned them. And I don't see this administration doing anything different. In the follow-on administration, their hands will be tied, too.
Yeah.
It's not something we do. We abandon our own veterans, depending on if it's convenient or not.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Scott, for putting an honest face on it. And I'll let you gentlemen go.
Thank you,
Ben. Always a pleasure to hear from you. We're going to take a break and return here. And after the break, journalist Richard Rappaport, who penned a piece that appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle on Wednesday. You can read it at sfgate.com. He'll be joining us. He has a slightly different view of the scene on the ground in Bosnia when Hillary Clinton made her visit there with Chelsea. And Scott Dick was there as well on duty. So it's going to be an interesting conversation. That's coming up next. And you're welcome to call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Liz Curtis is taking your calls today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The showdown is coming. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. 10 days after the surprise Baghdad visit of Vice President Cheney, things are happening in Iraq.
The government decided to go ahead with local elections, and the prime minister launched an assault on the private armies in Basra. The militias have until Friday to give up, and it doesn't look like they will. In fact, in Baghdad, mortars are again peppering the green zone, and local strongman Muqtada al-Sadr has brought the fight to Lara Logan's backyard.
All around the CBS bureau here in the center of town, we've heard gunfire this morning. There are reports of fighting in Mansour district, reports of fighting in the east.
So the showdown is on, and the politician with the most at stake is John McCain, who's been defined by this exchange from way back in January.
President Bush has talked about our staying in Iraq for 50 years.
Maybe 100. We've been in South Korea. We've been in Japan for 60 years. That'd be fine with me as long as Americans are not being injured or harmed or wounded or killed.
McCain's people have tried to argue that this comment has been taken out of context, but he was pretty clear.
So what I hear is an open-ended commitment. That's my last word.
I have a quote, open-ended commitment in Asia. I have an open-ended commitment in South Korea. I have an open-ended commitment in Bosnia.
Yes, he was crystal clear. And we would all like to see an Iraqi army victory in this current fight, because by President Bush's terms, that would mean we could leave. But no one wants it more than John McCain. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue our weekly visit with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. And in a moment, we're going to get two different views, one from Scott and one from reporter Richard Rappaport, on what Hillary Clinton found when she and Chelsea arrived in Tuzla, Bosnia about 12 years ago. Was it a danger zone? Were they hunkered down due to sniper fire? But before we take you back to the Tuzla Two-Step, I want to talk to Julie in Sacramento, who's called with some interesting information. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you, Peter V. and Major Scott Dick.
Howdy.
I have a question on EMDR, which helps us with the PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And it replaces, the therapist goes through with through the flashback with you and then tries to replace it with positive memories.
And EMDR stands for Eye Movement Desensitization and Reprocessing.
And it has been working. And but the is there any way to find out if there can be any more funding for it and expanding the program to include more people? Because mine is ending next week.
Oh, really? Scott, do you know anything about this?
No, I just know that contracting and grants and that is just one of those arcane, labyrinthine systems that should be more transparent, should be easier, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like if you know, grant requests and fund writing and all that stuff has to get out like 30 to 90 days minimum before a grant ends. Who knows? I didn't even know where to begin, frankly.
Well, let me tell you, this is interesting because Julie supplied us with some information, and there's a website at emdr.com, and it's an institute located in Watsonville, just in your backyard, Scott.
Interesting.
And it says here on the website that EMDR has determined to be an effective treatment of trauma, and that it's been studied by the Department of Veterans Affairs and the DOD back in 2004. And according to this website, EMDR was placed in the A category as strongly recommended for the treatment of trauma. So, Julie, I thank you for bringing this to our attention. We'll look into it. I'll just be candid. This is the first I've heard of it, and I'm glad that there is an approach like this. And has it been useful to you?
It has, and that's why I'm upset that I just have my last therapy. It's being done through one of the doctors from that's going to school. He's an intern.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been extremely, when you go through, when the therapist goes through with you, through one of the flashbacks, he brings you back right before, you know, he knows when to bring you back.
Yeah.
And it helps a lot.
Well, I'm glad to hear about it. We will look into it further, and you stay tuned. We'll probably get somebody from the VA or at least somebody from the EMDR Institute to talk about it.
Thank you.
Okay, Julie.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well-informed listeners. I love it. Richard Rappaport joins us now. He's a friend of mine. He's a journalist, and he was in Bosnia in the spring of 1996. Welcome, Richard.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Doing fine.
I gotta ask Scott something before we get into this.
Yeah.
Were you? Do you remember a lieutenant? He was a Chinese kid named Shay, H-S-I-E. Did he work for you?
This is a question to you, Scott.
No, I don't remember him, and he may have worked in the G5 somewhere, but I don't remember him because he was my minder binder at Eagle Base in Tuzla, and he was actually he's a cousin of some friends of mine who are political in San Francisco, right? Named Tom Shay.
Yeah.
H-T-S. AI, I think is how they...
I think it's H-S-I-E-H.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. I was so lucky to work on Tom Shea's political campaign when he ran for mayor.
That's right, you did, didn't you? So you know it pretty well.
Well, Scott and Richard, I don't know that you guys actually got a chance to meet there in Bosnia, but I found it interesting because when Hillary Clinton had to recant her misstatement or misspoken comment about the scene there that she found when she and Chelsea flew into Tuzla. Scott came on the program the other day and told us his version of events. He was right there on the tarmac. And I think you've had a chance to hear that, Richard. But for the benefit of listeners who didn't hear our original conversation with Scott, can you give us kind of a one-minute summary of what really did happen?
Peter, I just need to make a correction. I was not on the tarmac.
Oh, okay.
I was in the mess hall waiting for her.
Okay.
And it was one of those kind of things where the guy from the Visitors Operations Center came by and said, hey, you want to be Chelsea Clinton's escort officer? And I wasn't doing anything else. It was Groundhog Day. And I said, sure.
It was always Groundhog Day there.
Exactly. And I said, you know, I wrote in my blog, it's either that or pound a 10-penny nail into my eye. So
ooh.
I took the Chelsea Clinton visit. And I was working as the assistant political advisor basically down the hall from my old office, which is a G5. And so she came, and we were – the purpose was the first lady was meeting with widows of Srebrenica, and we were going to babysit her kids in the mess hall, feed them lunch and hang out, and Chelsea was entertaining the kids. And she did a marvelous job. And they came, and you know, we were on radio contact with the advance team who came, I think, 48 hours before the first lady came, and they were there. We were in constant radio contact. We heard nothing. We had our own information. And of course, when Chelsea came, she didn't say a word. And they were just, you know, that 8-year-old in the video has to be one of the kids that came and hung out at the mess hall with us. Mm-hmm. Nobody seemed traumatized. Nobody even remotely seemed nonplussed.
Yeah. And, Richard, you described a different scene in your piece in the San Francisco Chronicle. And I hasten to add that you weren't really defending the misstatements of Senator Clinton. You were trying to draw a bigger picture that she was courageous to fly into a war zone.
Well, to undertake that war in the first place and then to fly in and do what she did. I mean, we flew in. And a lot of this may be kind of stuff that Scott actually formulated to just, you know, make our lives easy so we had stories. But the C-130 sort of flew in and, you know, did the loop-the-loop. They told us to avoid sniper fire, and actually they also mentioned these aerial mines that the Bosnian Serbs allegedly had. I don't know what. But anyway, they were, you know, they all thought it was pretty funny to give us helmets and decide whether we put them underneath the seats or on our heads or what.
And one of the things that Scott has told us about is that the Serbs and the Bosnians enjoy celebratory gunfire. And so some of the shots that may have gone skyward were actually not necessarily from a sniper intending to do harm to an American or a NATO person.
Right, or they just may have been for our edification, which is entirely possible. But I got to say, you know, now, Scott, I also got to know, did I bring you dinner from a restaurant in Tuzla? Because there was a guy who was in a similar position who asked me to go do that, because you guys were pretty much on base, right? I mean, General Nash ran a very tight ship.
Yeah, it was a very that's one of the reasons I took the assistant political job so I could get out. But no, I don't know. Maybe the PAO, John Suttle, but I don't know. I don't remember it. I think I would have remembered it.
Yeah. But anyway, it was an amazing experience. And, you know, I guess what I was trying to say was that we just are at a point in American politics where we just jump all over something like this. I got to tell you, I have never taken a beating like this one, you know, that ran in the Chronicle. I've probably gotten 100 emails, out of which about 60% or 70% are vicious and ugly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's aimed more at Hillary Clinton than at me, but holy cow. I wouldn't have believed it, but...
Well, and again, I want to underscore that you did not attempt to vindicate the senator's comments in the narrow sense that she was dodging sniper fire and had to dash from the airplane to the car. You were really talking about the bigger picture.
Right.
Yet people who don't want to hear what you had to say immediately consider you to be a Hillary defender and attack her through you.
Yeah, all I had to say was that having gone over there in 96, and then I went back in 99 as well, I sort of made some very good friends in some Bosnian villages around there, as a matter of fact. And what I first saw was a war zone. I mean, I can tell you, you know, that you knew the Serbs, the Tuzla Valley, which was sort of America's area of pacification, had been fought over about 3 separate times, you know, so you could kind of, you could pretty much tell which pass had happened when, and, you know, because the Bosnians were, the Serbs were in the south, and they had artillery, and the Bosnians were in the north, and all they had were machine guns. So you could tell the sort of on the different side of the walls who was firing what. I mean, it had been about as scary. It was a war, and it was a horrible war, and, you know.
No, it was a bloody, bloodthirsty. And, you know, we went to Birch Cove in January. I went with the PA. It was just the two of us. And the special forces handed us over to the SAS, and they minded up. And then they handed us over to the Bosnian police. And so we spent the time, about 24 hours, I want to say 40 hours, with just the two of us in Birchco in January, and getting there was interesting. I mean, Peter, to go to a war zone after the fighting has stopped and seeing miles of sniper blankets, for example, something you just can't imagine until you see it. That's where they would hang blankets so they could walk from one piece of a terrain or one building to another and not get killed mm-hmm. by snipers. Mm-hmm. But those are still up. And roads that were modern European, you know, what we consider to be highways, not freeways, but be highways, were down to one, you know, lane because of they couldn't do anything with them, and they were covered with ice, and they weren't maintained. It was a modern European country turned back, you know, 60 or 70 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest danger for all of us were mines, and there were regular mine strikes where children and men and women who wanted to go back and work in their fields and go back to normal living were either maimed or killed by unexploded ordnance.
See, when I went into this village called Memechi, the Serbs had pulled out a couple days before, and the Americans were letting the people who had been driven out of there in 92 back in. And there was an elementary school, and this 20-year-old kid, and it was wired off because it was assumed there were booby traps in there, and indeed there were. And this kid got pretty badly injured. He kind of came crawling out with part of his leg missing, you know. So you saw things like that. You'd be in the bar in Tuzla, and you know, and it would be the 20th century, and you'd have a couple drinks with somebody, and all of a sudden you'd find out that they had been escaped Srebrenica, and they would start telling you stories, and you know, it was a hideous war, and mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned, the Clintons stopped it. You know, maybe not soon enough, maybe not well enough, but you know, they saved a lot of lives.
Now, Scott, just in the general picture, do you agree with Richard's characterization that Hillary Clinton showed some courage to fly into this zone, even if it was not specifically the way she has misdescribed it?
Well, yeah. Oh, kind of. I mean, you know, if she would have told the story of meeting with the widows of Srebrenica and how horrible that must have been for her to listen to story after story of how every man in a family was butchered by the Bosnian Serbs, and then come back and say how that perhaps affected her and her ability to understand what it means to be in a war mm-hmm. without being there, but understand the impact that it has on real people, that I think would have been so much more compelling. I mean, a second time we went to Birchko, and this is a true story, second time we went to Birchko, just the political advisor and I, we stayed at a different place, and when we came back from meeting with the Bosnian Serbs, and I think this was to smooth over one of those firebrown Serbian priests who was preaching against the occupation. He called it occupation by the Americans. We got back to our place that we were staying in, like a hotel, and the first one we stayed in had no hot water, you know, no electricity. The second one that they'd been working on, we pulled in, and there was a car in the parking lot with American Armed Forces plates on it, just like I had in my car in Germany. And we go inside, and there's two people sitting there, a woman and a man. They introduced themselves. They were Stars and Stripes reporters in Birchko. On the other side, I said, how did you get here? She goes, oh, because the photographer came separately. She goes, I drove here from Frankfurt. So, I mean, for goodness sakes, she came to a country, you know, she'd been on the other side. She'd been to Eagle Base, so she didn't have anybody with her. She didn't have bodyguards. She drove to the place where they use rape as a weapon by yourself. And I said, are you scared? She goes, well, you know, no, but I'm cautious.
Mm-hmm.
So to describe it, you know, with all of Hillary's, I mean, that was courage as far as I'm concerned. With mm-hmm. all the M-16s and the machine guns and the attack helicopters and the C-17s and you know, I saw some video subsequent to the story yesterday. You know, General Nash was with her, RCG was with her a bunch of the time, and she had other people, so she was, you know, I don't think they ever took her any place that might have been construed as remotely dangerous.
All right. Richard, a final comment?
Well, I just, you know, I think Scott's a smart guy, and I wish Hillary had done just that, you know, but and it may have been that she just used that the wrong way. But what happened over there is something that people ought to go see and ought to be very proud of what the Army did over there. No, they saved a lot of lives.
All right. Richard Rappaport, thank you very much. Scott Tickle, stay with us as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines open if you want to chime in at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. Pretty busy as we start things off today. Gilroy northbound 101 at Maston Avenue. A grass fire burning off to the shoulder. Some smoke visible from the roadway. Fire department is on the scene, but it looks like traffic not affected at this time. For Scotts Valley, southbound 17 after Sugarloaf Road, we have a crash with two cars. They're both off to the right-hand shoulder. Salinas, south 101 at Main Street. Watch out for two large bags of garbage in the roadway. And in Capitola, southbound 1 before Park Avenue, a broken-down box truck that is tying up the left-hand lane. This is brought to you by Act Restoring Mouthwash. Act Restoring Mouthwash is a three-act mouthwash. Act 1 kills germs. Act 2 restores minerals to soft spots. And Act 3 strengthens tooth enamel to up to two times harder. Be sure to get Act Restoring Mouthwash. That is traffic, and I'm Nate Nix on KRXA.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
As I was walking a ribbon of highway, I saw above me and in the skyway, I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for you and me.
I'll dedicate that one to Country Joe McDonald. He's got a sold-out show in Sacramento tonight, his one-man tribute to Woody Guthrie. And that, of course, is This Land Is Your Land, one of Woody's best-known songs. And we're talking with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. About an hour from now, Gary Chu, our resident film reviewer, will join us. He's just had a chance to see the new film Stop Loss about soldiers being sent back to Iraq. And we'll get his take on that coming up just about an hour from now. Scott, I wanted to talk to you about procurement and resupply. The Pentagon has admitted that they mistakenly sent some triggers for nuclear weapons or nuclear missiles to Taiwan. And this happened about 2 years ago. It just surfaced in the last few days, and the president had to apologize to the premier of China, who he called to talk about the problems with Tibet. And these are nose cone fuses about 2 feet long. They were the Taiwanese were expecting batteries, and they got nuclear triggers.
I can't, Peter. And these are the most coveted nuclear devices on the planet, the triggers. I read that story, and I just can't help but laugh if it, you know, because I'm old, way too old to cry.
So,
we sent them that they ordered helicopter batteries.
Right.
We sent them nuclear ICBM, not tactical nuclear weapon triggers, but ICBM triggers.
Yeah.
And it took them 2 years to figure out that they wouldn't fit in their helicopters. I can't help it, Peter.
You're so easily amused, Major Dick.
You know, because I have seen this in my own eyes where a clerk, you know, a 12-year-old clerk, I'm being facetious now, but, you know, a young guy gets into the computer back then when they first were it's called PLL, Parts Logistic Load, or it's kind of a weird thing like that. It's called the PLL, and he ordered, instead of a roll of plastic tubing to take oil samples on a tank, he screwed up the way that it's this up.
Well, you know how when you shop online, you've got a cart, and then you got to check out. I mean, maybe he was distracted by free porn or eBay.
And see,
or both.
And when you put that on top of sending 7 nuclear-tipped cruise missiles across the United States, and then sitting on the, every time I read the story, it gets better and better. It sat on the tarmac after it flew down to the air base down in Louisiana. It sat on the tarmac for 2 days, but before a crusty old Air Force senior master sergeant or chief master sergeant said, hey, those are active nuclear-tipped cruise missiles. Maybe we should get them off the flight line.
Yeah. All right, now we have a front-page story on Thursday's New York Times about a 20-something guy who is an entrepreneur named Divaroli. And he formed a company to ship supplies to the U.S. military in Afghanistan. And we're learning that many of the ammo, the bullets that he sent were either ancient or, you know, malfunctioned. And that some of this materiel was acquired from China, which appears to violate some of our contracting and acquisition laws.
Well, that's a story that directly affects the health and safety of our soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan. It actually, you should be under federal indictment instead of just getting, probably get a contract for more money to fix the equipment problems. But his job was to supply small arms and small arms ammunition to the Iraqis and the Afghanis. So I would love to have been in a firefight with the Afghanis who none of their bullets worked because he got junk. And what he did is he bought the stuff, war surplus, Peter, from Albania.
Oh, great.
So you know where they got their stuff? They got their stuff because the leader of Albania was a psycho communist, and he couldn't decide on who were the imperialist running dogs. Or, you know, was one week it was the Soviets, the next week it was the Chinese, the next week it was the Americans. And so apparently there are huge stocks of aging, rusted, useless ammunition, and that was exemplified by those explosions that got very little press in the United States, but killed like 22 people in one village. One of the ammo dumps just went up in flames. And so that's the kind of stuff he's buying on the market. He's buying old Soviet era, old Maoist era millions of rounds that are basically, many of them, not only packaged substandard, which is when you move ammunition, you know, if you dent a cartridge, it's worthless.
Yeah.
So,
all right, let's get a quick comment from Dave in Humboldt. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, as you know, I'm a very suspicious man, and I do believe that our country has been selling weaponry to all kinds of wrong kind of people all over the place. I'm going to guess that rather than just a blunder, this was some one of these espionage deals inside that went wrong. It fell into the wrong hands and got out that we...
You mean a brilliant idea like trading arms for hostages?
Well, there was no arms for hostages. That was arms for graft.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
All right.
Scott Dick, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to have you on the program.
That's great, Peter. I appreciate it.
Give us a 10-second plug for the Scott Dick program following the Peter B. Collins Show tonight on KRXA.
Well, listen in. You never know what's going to happen. I work on the news until right at the very last moment.
All right. Thank you, Scott. More coming up. The Free Speech Zone is next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines, that I could really drink and enjoy until I... accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. In the streets of Baghdad, supporters of Shiite leader Muqtada al-Sadr protest the assault by government forces on his militiamen in the southern city of Basra. The situation deteriorated today when one of the two main oil pipelines that runs to Basra's port was bombed, sending the world price of oil to nearly $108 a barrel. President Bush, speaking at a military base in Ohio today, said the government's crackdown in Basra is a sign of progress.
There is now a very real chance that Iraq will emerge as a secure and stable state.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. Neither of the top Democrats in Congress were impressed by anything President Bush said. In separate written statements, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said Mr. Bush failed to offer a plan for ending the war in Iraq. Pelosi described the president's rhetoric as divorced from reality.
Relentless rocket and mortar attacks on the Green Zone in Baghdad have prompted a warning to personnel at the U.S. Embassy. Stay inside, and if you have to go out, wear helmets and body armor. CBS News correspondent David Martin says Defense Secretary Robert Gates is following up on that blunder by the Air Force, sending Taiwan fuses for nuclear missiles instead of helicopter batteries.
Now he has ordered what is a much broader investigation into all nuclear weapons and all components of nuclear weapons that exist in the Department of Defense. In other words, he wants to find out if there are any other loose nukes or loose parts of nukes that are out there someplace.
Gates wants a report within 60 days. Hundreds more flights were canceled today as American Airlines and Delta continued their re-inspections of the wiring on MD-80 jets.
This is all a result of the FAA's directive that airlines go back and take a look at their inspection process, make sure that they have complied fully with all FAA inspection mandates.
CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes, the Delta planes that are flying are subject to an additional $5 surcharge each way. The carrier blames the rising cost of fuel. Get them while they're young. Credit card companies bombard college students with tempting offers to sign up.
They give away products ranging from offers for sandwiches, offers for food and pizza, all the way up to iPod shuffles.
Ed Merzwinski of the Public Interest Research Group says it's out of control and students know it. In a survey, they overwhelmingly support limits on campus credit card marketing. Merzwinski says a significant number of students have gotten into trouble with plastic. In the markets today, the price of oil closed at $107.58 a barrel. That's a jump of nearly $2. The Dow Industrials down 120 points to 12,302, and the Nasdaq lost 43 points. It finished the day at 2280. This is CBS News.
It's time to empty our schedules and fill up our flower pots. Time to unload our inboxes and load up our window boxes. It's time to grow something with Miracle-Gro Moisture Control, the potting mix that prevents under- or over-watering and lets you do just about anything except mess up. So let the creativity flow and the color and beauty grow. This weekend, get out there with Miracle-Gro. It's grow time.
I was diagnosed with diabetes. My doctor was a huge help. But I was still anxious, and I found myself wanting even more information.
Only Aetna members have access to Aetna Navigator, a secure online resource that enables members to check the status of their claims and provides information on everything from wellness to diabetes, as well as procedure costs and hospital quality ratings.
Now I feel like I'm in control of my diabetes, instead of it controlling me.
We want you to know. Aetna. To learn more, go to Aetna.com.
Plans offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company. Health insurance plans contain exclusions and limitations.
A city in England decides to let rock and roll bygones be bygones. CBS News reporter Larry Miller has the story.
Hey, hey, hey.
Come back, Rolling Stones, all is forgiven. That's the message from the English city of Blackpool, which banned the Stones for life in 1964 after a riot during a concert. It all began when a man tried to spit at the band. Keith Richards then allegedly kicked the guy in the face, kicking off the brawl. 50 injured, the piano, chandeliers, and seats destroyed. Now, 44 years later, the city council figures that with the Stones older, wiser, and safer, it's time to lift the ban. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
Axl Rose and his band have been working on an album called Chinese Democracy for 14 years. It's become a running joke. Now Dr. Pepper has gotten into the act, offering a free soda for everyone in America if Guns N' Roses releases the album this year. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
So the other day, I'm driving my Chevy and I see this guy with two bumper stickers. One read E equals MC squared. The other said, keep it simple, stupid. Seeing those two together helped me really appreciate how my Chevy lets me know when it's the right time and the wrong time for service. Most newer Chevys, like mine, have an oil life monitor that tells me when it's time for a change. With OnStar, I can subscribe and get a diagnostic report via email. And I always check my owner's manual for a complete maintenance schedule. And when it's the right time for me, I choose the Chevy experts down the Goodwrench service lane.
I can't stop thinking about it.
I got an oil change, tire rotation, and a Goodwrench multi-point vehicle inspection. These guys know more about my Chevy than anyone, and for me, that's the best deal of all.
See your Chevy Goodwrench dealer today or log on to Goodwrench.com. Diagnostic capabilities vary by model. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Goodwrench and go. We're keeping it simple.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Something here tonight. No fighting. We got the refugees.
No fighting.
Hillary fans, Obama fans, no fighting. Uh-uh. As we head into the free speech zone, your calls and comments are welcome this hour. Any subject, any viewpoint, you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And Brian Urban has the day off. Liz Curtis is sitting in taking your phone calls, so be gentle. Call her now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the free speech zone. And there's lots to talk about today. The problems in Iraq and the denial of the President of the United States. He sees the blood that is being shed, the new carnage, as some kind of a positive development from his surge? Unbelievable. We also talked about wildfires and thinning the forest to reduce those fires and their contribution to CO2 emissions in our atmosphere. Very interesting conversation earlier with Dr. Tom Bonnickson. And we talked about a range of issues last hour with Scott Dick and Richard Rappaport, the Tuzla twins, web-based news and commentary service, a service of a progressive bent. And there I found an item that I mentioned on the show. And I got a couple of emails from listeners who rightfully wanted a correction, a retraction of this, and I'm about to give it to you. What I described was this article that said that former Clinton pastor William Prokanik has been convicted of sex abuse against a 7-year-old girl. And I found this at Alternet. It came from a blog called The All Spin Zone. The article is entitled, Is It Hillary's Turn to Denounce and Reject a Problematic Pastor? Now, as I read this yesterday, I was not completely convinced, because this pastor who's been convicted is from Utica, New York. And while she is the junior senator from New York, I have no knowledge of Hillary Clinton going to church near Utica. And as it turns out, there is a town named Clinton, not far from Utica, and that's where the church was located, where the Reverend William Procanic was the pastor, and he's now been sentenced for this first-degree sexual abuse and endangering the welfare of a child. Now, I didn't go whole hog on this, and I didn't accuse Hillary Clinton of anything. I did ask the question, should she be apologizing for her preacher? And then I shifted into, well, exactly how far does this go? Where do we stop in investigating the preachers of a presidential candidate? So what I said was incorrect, and I will not try to gloss it over and call it a misstatement or say I misspoke. I was wrong, and I based some statements on what appears to be an erroneous report. And if you Google Clinton and Procanic, P-R-O-C-A-N-I-C-K, you will discover that I'm not alone.
Excuse me.
And I offer you this. If you ever find me making a statement in error like that, I want you to get in my face. You can email me, you can call the program, whatever it takes. I am devoted to accuracy on this show. You hear my opinions, but I also try to give you facts and information that is unbiased, as unbiased as possible. And sometimes I don't succeed. And that's what happened yesterday, and I'm just happy to face up to it and explain it. And if you have a comment about that or criticism, feel free to bring it on toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Up first in the free speech zone, it's Mark in San Francisco. Hello, Mark. You're on the air.
Peter, how you doing?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for the free speech. I wanted to bring up my concern about Iran and that the administration's basic determination to start a war there and maybe even nuclear devices going off. You know, I think this is the big concern right now, Peter, and I'm wondering, if we don't impeach him, is this what we're going to be looking at?
Well, Mark, just on the issue of impeachment, I have been in favor of impeachment since the Democrats took control in the fall of 2006. I'm bitterly disappointed at the way they played that issue as if it's some sort of an option. It is the only constitutional remedy to really hold accountable a president who has violated the Constitution so frequently and so intentionally. But the Democrats have chosen for political reasons, and I think their calculations are wrong, in the words of Speaker Pelosi, leave impeachment off the table. And as recently as last week, I discussed it with Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky of Chicago and John Conyers, the chair of the House Judiciary Committee. And also a couple of weeks ago, Florida Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz was on the program with us. And I am offended by the patronizing comments that they offer, saying that, oh, if we had pursued impeachment, we wouldn't have passed the minimum wage, we wouldn't have done all the wonderful things we've done. But the bottom line is that in order to stop the carnage in Iraq and bring home American troops and to draw a line to prevent what you're concerned about, a military assault of some sort on Iran, I think impeachment was a very important tool. And that even if the process had not led to the removal of Cheney and or Bush from office, that the desired effect would have been to put them on notice that we will not permit any further violations of their constitutional oaths of office and that we won't countenance any further military adventures of a unilateral and optional nature.
You know, also, it's the arrogancy. When they asked Cheney that people are against the war in Iraq, he said so. And this is a slap in our face. I mean, this is what we're left with, an administration that's doing whatever it wants. It never represented the people of the United States of America. He violated his oath of office. And it is, you know, basically, Peter, the real problem here is we have no democracy if there's no impeachment with all these infractions. What do we have left? Really?
Well, it's a question that I can't quite answer, but it's the right one to ask. And I believe that we have seen wholesale departure from the Constitution as the basis of our government and our constitutional rights as citizens. And we have to hold the Democrats accountable, too, because Nancy Pelosi was on the Intelligence Committee. Jane Harman was on the Intelligence Committee. They were briefed on many of these issues before we went to war in Iraq. And some of it, you know, we can chalk up to their security clearances and the promise they make not to reveal confidential information. But at a certain point, people like Pelosi and Harman and Jay Rockefeller of the Senate Intelligence Committee owe it to themselves and to us as citizens to stand up and say, no, this cannot go forward. And there's a powerful new film out that's produced by Phil Donahue, and I've got I can't remember the name of it. I think it's called Body of War. I'll check during the break. It is going to be released on the West Coast in May, I believe, and it follows the life of a young soldier who went to Iraq because he believed the attack on 9/11 deserved a military response. He volunteered shortly thereafter, and on his fifth day of service in Iraq, he was wounded, and he will be paralyzed from the chest down for the rest of his life. And this film powerfully intercuts his story with the debate and the vote in October of 2002 over the blank check that the Congress gave President Bush to invade Iraq. And it's worth seeing. It's a little bit edgy, and you feel the real pain and suffering that Thomas Young is going through. He's the man who's featured in the film. But you hear the senators and members of both parties, including then-Majority Leader Tom Daschle, repeating these bogus talking points, you know, about weapons of mass destruction, about mushroom clouds, how Saddam had gassed his own people. All that stuff was recycled and regurgitated by both parties as they, you know, voted to give the president this unwarranted, unprecedented, unchecked power. And the voices you hear in opposition are so few. One of them, the ancient senator from West Virginia, Robert Byrd, who is struggling to, you know, control his shaky hands as he gives a very powerful speech. And the other came from Barbara Lee of Oakland, the congresswoman who has been unbowed in her opposition to this war and the other misadventures like the Patriot Act. So I recommend that film to you because it does capture the way we as Americans were not well represented by our elected officials at the most critical time in our recent history.
Peter, my concern again to you is Iran. And, you know, if something happens over there, the death and destruction that'll be all across this world will be, I mean, there's just no words where it'll end. And if this administration, who's shown they're absolutely insane, is not stopped, I don't know what they're going to come up with after we start dropping nuclear bombs on Iran and how they're going to justify that. I mean, it'll be too late.
Mark, I appreciate your concern. Thanks for calling the program, and I pledge that we will keep covering the issues related to Iran. We've been doing it for 2 years. We're not going to stop now. More in a moment in the Free Speech Zone. Lines are open for you. Give me a call now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Is impeachment the reason we can't control Bush and Cheney? Mark may have a point.
Wake up, everybody. We're mostly thin and dead. No more backward thinking.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
You know you move too fast. This is Barbara Mossberg, your host of the Poetry Slowdown, our hoedown at high noon Sundays right here at KRXA 540 AM. Poetry's age-resistant news we need more than ever in fast-breaking, heartbreaking headline news. As Monterey talks for the Steinbeck Center's Big Read about books we would each save from burning, what poem would you want to save if we were to lose all the books? What poem has meant something precious to you in a time of grief or joy, or just being awake to this great happening illimitably earth, as E.E. Cummings says? Be thinking for yourself, KRXA listeners, and I'll be listening right here, Sunday noon at 5:40 a.m., or write me at barbara@krxa540.com. Our show will make the morning last, but hearing from you makes my whole day.
Checking traffic on KRXA and pretty busy right now. Starting in Gonzales, northbound 101 after 5th Street, it's an injury crash. A vehicle overturned, landed on its roof off to the right-hand shoulder. Emergency crews on the scene, they're tying up the right-hand lane, so you will see some heavy traffic both directions as you approach the scene right now. For Marina, just a heads up, northbound Highway 1 before 12th Street, a gas can, that's in the fast lane. Santa Cruz County, southbound Highway 1 before Ocean Street, it's a crash, couple of cars off to the right-hand shoulder. And an older crash in Scotts Valley, this is southbound 17 after Sugarloaf Road. Two cars, they were on a narrow right-hand shoulder. Looks like CHP on the scene. They've now moved that to a nearby turnoff, and they've got tow trucks on the way. But look for a little bit of slow traffic there. Again, that's South 17 after Sugarloaf.
We continue in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I got a couple of lines available if you want to join this chat. 888-5-PETER-B. Toll free, 888-573-8372. And we got your AM radio broadcasts. We've got live streaming on the internet. We got archive streaming on the internet. We got your podcasts. And now we have a new offering. You can catch the Peter B. Collins Show delivered to your cell phone or that fancy iPhone or other PDA, a BlackBerry, for instance. Just log on to the website phoneshow.com, and they spell phone with an F, F-O-N-E, phoneshow.com. And if you click on the link to radio shows, you'll see our very first posting there, and it's our chat with Scott Dick from a couple of days ago about what he saw on the ground in Tuzla when Hillary and Chelsea Clinton arrived there in the spring of 1996. So check it out, and if you've got a fancy new PDA or other upgraded cell phone, this is something you might enjoy. There's no charge to you, there's no income to me, but it's a new way to reach people. That's phoneshow.com, F-O-N-E, phoneshow.com. Annie in Sacramento, you're up next in the Free Speech Zone. Thanks for your call.
Hi, Peter B., this is Annie.
Hi, Annie, good to hear from you again.
Yeah, it's good. I listen to you every day.
Well, good. Is that the NSA monitoring your line there, all that noise?
I think so, okay. But I don't know why. I don't really say nothing that important. You know, I mean, I might misspeak sometime, but, you know, I can always change it the next day. But, you know, Peter, it seems quite simple for me to understand how this problem can be solved with the war and the impeachment, all they got to do is reinforce the draft. People will be out in millions, and they will be asking for impeachment of the president.
Well, you make an interesting point, and this has been raised by Charlie Rangel from New York. He's an African-American Democrat who has called for fairness by returning the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made this case. I believe that I was motivated to oppose the Vietnam War because my butt was on the line.
That's true, everybody.
And I was a lucky number four in Nixon's second draft lottery. And fortunately, things were winding down at that point, and I was never pressed into service. That's my point of view. But
I give you incentives.
Yeah. I do think that if we had a draft today, that there would be more opposition to the war. Would it lead to impeachment?
Yes.
I don't know, because the real block of impeachment is the Democratic incumbents, the Democrats in the power structure.
It would lead to impeachment, simple fact, if they have the draft and people that don't want to go to war have to go, and, you know, they got something to lose in this war, and the people they put in office, they will remember not to vote for them next time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, yes, because they would hold them accountable when it's time for re-election.
Right. Well, I hear your point. It's kind of an indirect effect, and the problem we have now is that the Democrats have run out the clock.
That's right.
And there really isn't room, time, practical bandwidth for impeachment. And I'm disappointed by that because, as I said, even if it never ultimately led to removal from office for Bush or Cheney, it would have set an important standard that the American people won't tolerate intentional lawbreaking, mm-hmm. and that we reject the unilateral policies of this administration that have us bogged down in Iraq. Annie, thanks a lot for your call. I'm glad you're listening. Now to Robert in Santa Cruz, tuned into KRXA. Hi, Robert.
Once again, Peter, you're excelling. Wonderful show. I'm calling in concerning the first hour guest who was talking, a Forest Service guy.
Uh-huh.
It's too bad he didn't mention anything about forest saving. Like, for instance, hemp sequesters four times the carbon that forests do, because hemp grows 10 feet in 10 weeks and also has, you know, food, fiber, fuel, medicine. It's a crime, really, that hemp is banned, and for no good reason except to protect the petrochemical monopoly in this country.
Well, it's also part of the war on drugs hysteria. You can't smoke hemp and get high, but it's in the same family of plants, and so the people who are ignorant and want to stay that way keep it banned.
But there is no THC for any usable purposes,
right.
As a drug in the industrial stuff. Anyway, now they have a smokeless delivery system for the medicinal part of it, but there's so many wonderful side effects in our other uses for hemp than just to get high.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, what I was also going to say is that there's a guy, Dr. Paul Stamets. He's a mycologist, and I don't know if you go to the Green Festival in San Francisco in November, but he's given talks there, mm-hmm. and he says that the fungi actually sequester carbon through breaking down timber, dead wood and stuff, and turning it into soil. That's what creates soil.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a show. It was a show about the Mormons murdering these settlers, and there was a wonderful meadow there divided by a river, and it was on Indian territory or something, and they were camping there.
Robert, I'm out of time here. Thank you very much for your call, right. But I got to take a break that I can't stop. We'll return to the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
March Madness has struck all-class transportation in Marina. Through March 29th, all-class transportation is offering ridiculously low rates to travel in the ultimate in comfort and style. Rent an all-class transportation 8-passenger limousine for the bargain basement price of $55 an hour. A 6-passenger luxury SUV goes for just $50 an hour. And you can enjoy the plush surroundings of a 4-passenger luxury sedan for the low, low price of $45 per hour. The minimum rental time? Just 1 hour. Call All Class Transportation, TCP number 22978-A at 831-582-9338 or email John and John at allclasstrans@att.net. Times are yard to yard. Gratuity is not included, and vehicles will be rented subject to availability. Remember, for all your transportation needs, call Marina-based All Class Transportation at 582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
This is Barbara Mossberg, your host of the Poetry Slowdown. I'm inviting you to join me for a poetry reading I'm giving to support this show of my poems of 30 years called Fat Lady Flying. Me, a quivering wreck getting on a plane, yet hoping futilely to get the part of Peter Pan or the Witch and Wizard of Oz, too plump to hoist into the harness. I release my inner witch and invite you to come fly with me April 11th, 12th, and 13th at the Cherry Center in Carmel, Friday and Saturday nights at 8, to Sunday matinee, right after our show here. I told my 5-year-old son and mom, if you promise to let me write this down, I will buy you an ice cream. Well, if you come, I'll buy you ice cream and a chapbook of this poem, which you will see enacted before your eyes with blues songs by Anne Marie Hunter. Go to Ticket Guys online or call the Cherry Center in Carmel, 624-7491. That's 624-7491. And I'll see you on stage, on the page, and right here, Sundays, making the morning last.
Fly with me, let's fly away.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last 4 decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Wow, the beat even matched. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Are you relaxed? Well, don't relax too much. If you're driving home, I don't want you to get totally relaxed. All right, Frankie, thank you very much for that transitional music. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're taking your calls toll-free in the free speech zone here at 888-5-PETER-B. You know the number. Just grab a line, and we'll talk about what's on your mind. 888-573-8372 puts you through. And we've got our exclusive reporter, the guy who finds the stories that somehow never make it into the mainstream media.
Trash.com.
And that would be one R.J. Shulman, who has the distinction of having been dispatched from 13 major daily newspapers, and he doesn't even apply for jobs at the big papers anymore, because all they do is lay people off. He's publishing on the web at ptsd1.blogspot.com, and that is the official site of the Post-Times Sun-Dispatch. RJ, how are you?
I'm doing great, Peter B. How are you doing this week?
Well, not too bad, not too bad. You know, it's amazing. I usually just pull up your site minutes before we talk to you. And you are uncanny in talking about the issues that are most important to my listeners. Just 20 minutes ago or so, we were talking about these nuclear triggers that the Pentagon mistakenly shipped to Taiwan, and that this has created an embarrassment. The president had to apologize while he was trying to, hammer the premier of China over the Dalai Lama and the Tibet situation. And you've got the exclusive. The Air Force has not only mistakenly shipped sensitive materiel to Taiwan, but they're doing it to Iran, the archenemy that Dick Cheney wants to blow up?
That is correct. This is the part of the story you didn't hear. It was bad enough it went to Taiwan, but there was actually a misshipment that was sent to Iran.
Now, is this because they still have the address labels from Iran-Contra when Ali North arranged to have those weapons shipped to Tehran? RJ? RJ?
Excuse me, the phone seems to have...
Seems to have. I'm concerned. I wonder if the NSA is intercepting this call. Liz, can you try to dial RJ back and
I think I'm back. There's some kind of tapping of the phone going on. I can't imagine why.
Oh, okay. Well, I can hear you well right now. So anyway, the question I asked was, is this just a goof up in the shipping department? Because they already had labels for Tehran from when they shipped, missile parts to the Ayatollah.
Yeah, I think not only was it the missile parts, but it was... It looks like they say they sent some plans on how to build nuclear weapons and a package of yellow cake uranium.
Holy cow. Now, this is an error of significant proportions. Now, according to your article, they also included three pairs of blue jeans, a Big Mac, and a Britney Spears CD.
That was what was ordered, but they got weapons of mass destruction instead.
Oh, I see. The order was for blue jeans, and they got WMD.
That's right.
Holy cow. This is amazing. Well, people can read the rest of the story at ptsd1.blogspot.com. You also have an item here about Hillary Clinton, that she is going to stay in the race, even past the end.
That's right. She's announced today that she's going to stay in the race even if someone else is elected president.
I mean, even Huckabee knew when it was time to go.
Well, what she said was that she believes the American people want someone who, quote, won't cut and run, who will not accept defeat. Now, they will want someone, isn't it? Just look at George W. Bush.
Ooh, that's really painful. All right, one more here. You say that George W. Bush had an interesting reaction to Barack Obama's speech about race from Philadelphia last week.
Let's see.
It says, Bush on Obama's speech, he's trying to make race...
Okay. There's so many things Bush was doing of questionable nature this week. I didn't know what you were talking about. He said that Obama's just trying to make race a black and white issue.
Well...
And that's wrong.
That's wrong. Okay. And, this is one of the things you do. You get these juicy quotes from Bush, and you don't clean them up to make him sound smarter. What else did he have to say?
What Bush said was, quote, Americans all understand that when it comes to race, the only issue about race that is important is who wins the NASCAR race.
NASCAR.
And there's more to it. He says, not a namesake. You know, the guy who has the same name as me, Kyle Bush. Mm-hmm. Now, his race car is not just black and white like Obama would have you believe. It's got red and blue with them stickers stuck on by them people who stick with Kyle through thick and thin.
Just amazing. To bring NASCAR into race issues, that just shows the way a wayward mind operates. Well, RJ, thank you for updating us. The website, again, is ptsd1.blogspot.com, and we've been talking with RJ Shulman.
Thanks a lot, Peter B. Have a great week.
All right, we'll talk to you again next week. Now back to your calls in the free speech zone, and I've got lines available. Don't wait till the end of the hour. Call me now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I think this is Red in Sacramento.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, Red.
How are you doing?
Pretty good, thanks.
Good. Listen, is the NSA listening in on this?
I believe they are.
Good,
yes.
Because I want one of those framed national security letters, framed and signed so I can auction it on eBay.
Okay, I think that's...
tidy little sum.
That's a great idea, but exactly how will you get a copy? Because, you know, the part of...
I will lower on a string out my prison cell window.
Okay, but the...
You'll be there.
The special thing about national security letters is that the subject of them doesn't get to know. So, for example, a national security letter could be sent to your phone company saying, we want to check out Red's phone calls, and they're not permitted to notify you. If they contact your library to find out what books you've taken out, they can tell the government what books you've checked out, but they can't tell you that they've told the government.
We will have a secret mission after the next election to go dig it up.
Okay.
Now, listen, I wanted to mention, you mentioned Phil Donahue's Body of War. You had the title correct.
Thank you.
Movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to mention Thomas, the soldier whose story is portrayed in that documentary. You had it right. He went to Iraq and was seriously wounded and is courageously putting his life back together.
Mm-hmm.
5 days after he got to Iraq. But you didn't mention, you probably know, but you didn't mention that he originally signed up in the most traditional and valorous sense of a patriot after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, he was so incensed by it, his instinct as a patriot was to go get the people who did that. And he was assured, and it was his intent to go to Afghanistan, where those people were, as you recall.
Right.
And they assured him that would be. So his going to Iraq totally surprised him. And he says later in the film that he wasn't just a victim of enemy fire. He was a victim of deceit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his whole take on that. Which brings me to a little disagreement with you, Peter. I think we should still go ahead with impeachment. And it doesn't matter if it will be successful. It doesn't matter if it's a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter that the time clock has run out, because they said the time clock was running out a year ago. It started this a year ago. It would have been a different story. But the reason is that I think on behalf of the troops that are there and all of the Thomases who have to live with this for the rest of their lives, our patriotic duty was to use our Constitution to get those guys home and get them out of harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
And we failed in that up to now. I think it is still our patriotic duty, and I still think it has some import to show that we are willing to use the Constitution that they went and got mangled for,
mm-hmm.
that we're still willing to use it, and that those hearings can still proceed, and I think it would make a wonderful backdrop to have those hearings in progress, even as Bush leaves office, even as the next election takes place.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and my issue is simply a practical one, that the Democrats have blocked it, and we're not going to...
Yes, they did, and they did with every excuse, and I'm still not sure of the full political motive behind it, but I think...
Well,
part of what, Red... Don't you think that would make a wonderful backdrop?
Well,
I mean, we could split our front pages in half.
Red, I've argued this, again, since the Democrats took power, that their reluctance to pursue impeachment is based on a series of political calculations that they feel could backfire on them and could allow the president to run, he wouldn't be running this November, but to claim victim status and allow Republicans to run with that sense of being victimized by liberal Democrats who are pushing a misguided impeachment process. Now, Red, hold on. Let me finish, will you?
Okay, sure.
So I don't buy that argument, but uh-huh. that's what they are saying.
Yeah,
that's the calculation they have used. What I have argued is that had they begun this a year ago or shortly after they took power in early 2007, that we would be on a track to establish in vivid detail the wrongdoing and the unconstitutional behavior of Bush, Cheney, and their underlings, and that this would not only be good for the Constitution, but it would be good politically for the Democrats.
Yeah, we could have said, this is how we're supporting our troops. We are using our patriotic duties and the tools at our hand to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it would have been a win-win situation. But the only place I disagree is you mentioned, you know, when you were talking, that you thought it was too late. I still don't think it's too late.
It's only too late because the Democrats won't even entertain
it. They won't do it.
Yeah.
It's going to be too late.
You know, the process wouldn't take that long because a lot of the issues are fairly cut and dried.
Yeah, and now one of has the paperwork on them.
Red, one of the unstated reasons that I believe the Democrats have resisted impeachment is that they feel that they have colluded and given approval to many of these issues. Sure, a substantial number of Democrats in the House and a number in the Senate voted against the original authorization, but
yes.
Many of them have voted subsequently for funding bills and other bills that essentially ratify the president's invasion of Iraq. And likewise, we have many Democrats who have sold out and are willing to continue to do so on the domestic spying issue.
So you think they fear their own exposure as much as the exposure of
Bush administration? I think that they fear that they wouldn't have enough votes in the Senate because the Republicans have remained very partisan and very unified in their misguided positions, and they feared a kind of a drama that would distract from the election and ultimately hand it to the Republicans. I don't agree.
I think it would add to the election, and I think you agree with me, huh?
Yeah, I don't agree with their calculus, I don't believe that impeachment under these circumstances is optional.
I don't either.
It's not a political card to be played or pocketed as the Democrats choose.
No, the Democrats talked a long time about how the rules have to apply.
Yeah.
Impeachment is one of our rules.
Red, I got to run to a break. Thanks for
your
call today. Good to talk to you. 888-5-PETER-B. Let me know what you think. I've got room for another couple of calls before the end of the hour, and I'd like to hear from you. 888-573-8372. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, going to Gonzales. An accident still clearing up with injuries northbound 101 after 5th Street. It was an overturned car vehicle landed on its roof off to the shoulder. Now, emergency crews may still be tying up that right-hand lane. We also had police activity at the scene, so look for some heavy traffic in both directions as you approach the area. Just south of Gilroy, northbound 101 before Highway 25, a hubcap and a piece of metal. That's partially in the right-hand lane. For Monterey, a crash reported, Highway 68 at York Road. Looks like a vehicle may have hit a deer. Everything's off to the side. CHP is on the way. In Salinas, Laurelis Grade Road at Highway 68, it's a piece of pipe that's apparently in one of the lanes. Highway 17 currently checking in, Stalin accident-free. And, of course, the everyday slow traffic at the Fish Hook in Santa Cruz. This is brought to you by Act Restoring Mouthwash. Act Restoring Mouthwash is a three-act mouthwash. Act 1 kills germs. Act 2 restores minerals to soft spots. And Act 3 strengthens tooth enamel up to 2 times harder. Be sure to get Act Restoring Mouthwash. Have a great night. That's traffic. And I'm Nate Nix on KRXA.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Got a note from Bill Lackamacher in Sacramento. He's an election protection and all-around activist kind of guy, and he says, I'm working on getting a Body of War screening for Sacramento. That's the film we were talking about a few minutes ago, featuring Thomas Young, who is the soldier who was wounded on his fifth day of duty in Iraq. And Bill says he's working on the screening. We'll let us know when he has the details worked out. And Phil Donahue, who co-produced the film, will be at the Democratic Party convention in San Jose this Saturday to talk about the film. I didn't know that, so thank you very much, Bill. Billy Sunshine joins us now from Capitola, California. Hey, Billy.
Hello, Peter B. How are you doing?
Not too bad. How about you?
I've never felt worse about things. People don't realize how bad the market is, my friend. Not the market, but the entire economy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We've hollowed it out completely. It's in utter collapse at the moment.
Well, just even contemplate foreign travel, and it will drive home how weak the dollar is. We had some German visitors here at the program the other day, and they were just gloating.
Were they laughing at you?
Yeah, at $1.57 to the euro. They're having a great time and buying everything in sight here.
Yeah, but, you know, they're not just buying our things. They're buying our companies themselves. We're selling the productive assets of America for 10 cents on the dollar. We're fools.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, I believe that the happy talk from the president is not going to last very long. He's in kind of Herbert Hoover mode here.
Who pays attention to him at all? I mean, seriously, I never, ever listen to what he has to say.
Well, what's interesting to me is that his Treasury Secretary is now talking about regulation. We may need to regulate the hedge funds and the investment banks. Isn't that a novel idea from a Republican?
Well, you know, that's what they give you as they're taking, they completely, they turned capitalism around, and they made private all the profits, and they've socialized the losses. We pay for their losses, but when there are profits, they take it all for themselves.
And that's brilliant. What part of that do you have trouble with?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it really is the Enron model, which is you take your losses, you park them offshore, and pretend that they don't exist. And you cook the balance sheets. And we're now learning that one of the mortgage companies that went down last year was advised by one of the big accounting firms. And the line-level accountant said, no, this will not fly. They're over-leveraged. And the upper-level accountant said, oh, no, we're going to look the other way because this is a really big client, and we don't want them to take their business elsewhere.
I mean, the guy who owns Bear Stearns went from owning $1 billion of stock to getting only $61 two days ago when he sold it.
Mm-hmm.
$61 million, I'm sorry. But imagine, he managed to find $1 billion to pay himself with. Oh, that was all that leverage you're talking about. But we, the tax people, we're paying to have that. To try to fix that, to save that. Now,
did you notice
that? It
makes
more sense if we save the people who have. We're doing it. What's the expression? Ass backwards? Yeah, I think that's about it.
And Billy, did you notice that Carlyle Capital was allowed to go down by the Carlyle Group, which includes Poppy Bush and,
Well, they couldn't save it.
Not Blair, but who was the guy before Blair? the British Prime Minister.
Yeah, but that's now.
Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway, he's part of the mix there. And they let this fund go down rather than recapitalize it because it was leveraged 32 to 1.
Yeah, I heard 44 to 1.
Wouldn't you love to be able to leverage that way?
No, they don't let real people do that at all.
Right. All right, Billy, thank you very much.
Take care, buddy.
Gary Chu joins us now. He is our designated film reviewer based in Sacramento. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Peter B. Good to hear your voice.
Well, it's good to have you on, and I have to tell you that since we last spoke on the radio, I got a chance to rent In the Valley of Ella and watched it at home, and it lived up to your review. I thought it was an excellent film.
Well, thank you very much. In fact, my new review on Stop Loss says in it that In the Valley of Ella is one of the best movies of 2007. Tommy Lee Jones got an Oscar nomination for his role in it.
Mm-hmm.
But The Stop Loss, which I saw yesterday, is done by Kimberly Pierce, who you may remember did the very powerful Boys Don't Cry, which Hilary Swank won her first Oscar with.
Oh, yeah.
Back about almost 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, Stop Loss suffers from, to use the modern jargon, the film suffers from a motivational flip-flop. It just it has some changes in it, which I can't be specific about, Peter B., because I don't want to give away all of the story.
Right.
It's about these guys who are come back from Iraq after a grueling tour, some excellent combat scenes in the film. One of the guys gets stop-lost, and he is very belligerent about the fact that he's not going to go back. His family had served and fought, and he served for his family, served for his country, served for freedom. All of those things, and he doesn't want to go back. So the movie has to do with that. What's good about the movie is that it it is done with an appeal for less mature audiences. It maintains a sort of an adult theme of what happens to young men and women blindsided by the global politics of the moment, which is not an unusual thing for a movie about war to show.
Mm-hmm.
It is not really, I would call, an anti-war movie, but it is certainly a pro. Let's see what kind of predicament these guys who come back with PTSD are having to contend with and all those things that you talk a good deal about with the guy who does the show down in Monterey.
Right, Scott Dick. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Anyway, it's I would recommend it for young people. It's not as good as In the Valley of Ella, but it is a good film, and the young people are good actors in it. And I would like to close off if I've got a chance. Peter.
You got it. 30 seconds.
30 seconds?
Yep.
Okay, I've got a joke for you.
Okay.
Actually, it's a prediction.
All right.
A prediction that Hillary Clinton will be sporting a brand new style pantsuit in the very near future on one of her news conferences in a special new color. The color is Bosnian Sniper Fire Orange.
Well, I can't wait to see her add that to the repertoire with that bright yellow thing with the black piping. I've seen that one too many times.
And the shamrock handkerchief was nice the other day, too.
Gary, thanks for the review. And does this suffer because it's an MTV film? Is that one of the reasons why you think it's kind of skewed younger?
I think there's something to do with that, but yeah. I do have a great deal of respect for Kimberly Pierce. She does some good stuff.
All right. Gary Chu, thanks for the review.
You bet, Peter.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening. We'll do this again tomorrow. Join me. Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
President Bush, speaking at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio today, said progress is being made in Iraq.
The surge is doing what it was designed to do.
And he said the battle for Basra is a positive development because it shows the Iraqi government is taking on more responsibility and upholding the rule of law. But as CBS News chief foreign correspondent Lara Logan reports from Baghdad, many parts of Iraq are pretty lawless right now.
The crisis is spreading fast, from gun battles in southern cities to a rise in attacks against the U.S., targeting soldiers and the American embassy inside the heavily fortified Green Zone. Tens of thousands marched in anger on the streets of the capital. All this is dangerous for America's frontman, Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, who can't afford to lose this fight. He wants control of his country's economic lifeline. It's from Basra that 80% of Iraq's government revenue comes.
One of two main oil pipelines in Basra was blown up today, sending world oil prices sharply higher. Crude settled in New York at $107.58 a barrel. The economy was the talk on the campaign trail. Barack Obama spoke in New York.
I wasn't privy to Bear Stearns' balance sheets, but I think the idea that the Federal Reserve has to step in emergency situations is something I wouldn't challenge.
Hillary Clinton spoke in Raleigh, North Carolina.
I think we've had enough of a president who didn't know enough about economics and didn't do enough for the American middle class.
California has launched a new effort to go green. Today, CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker says Governor Schwarzenegger and Southern California Edison announced a massive solar energy project.
Edison plans to place photovoltaic solar panels on top of commercial buildings throughout Southern California, some 65 million square feet of commercial rooftops. The installation of the solar cells is to begin immediately.
They're expected to generate enough electricity to power 300,000 homes. The State Air Resources Board has given automakers more time to comply with its target for zero-emission vehicles. The board reduced the number of battery-powered and hydrogen fuel cell vehicles required to be sold in California. Just yesterday, we learned of the death of